At 6:30, if you please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we'll call the meeting in order. Trustee Harris?
Here.
Trustee Gendrich?
Here.
Trustee Rafter?
Here.
Trustee Van Allen is here. Trustee Dart?
Here.
Trustee Gass?
Here.
Trustee Dennis?
Here.
Trustee Dennis and Harris, make sure to use your microphone, please.
Here.
Yep.
I did.
I would like to recommend a couple of modifications to the agenda, and then I'll entertain some suggestions from the rest of you. I'd like to move item 10 to item 3B. Shouldn't take too long. I'd like to move item 24 to 5B. And that's those are both of my recommendations for revisions. Are there any others? Most people are here with regard to the safe routes to school issue or the sexual offender issue, so we've tried to move both those up. Are there any other recommendations from our visitors as to where you'd like to see items on the agenda? Hearing none, is there a motion to accept the agenda as modified? Trustee Gass, is there a second? Trustee Dart. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Are there any announcements this evening? I have a bit of an announcement. As you know, the village administrator has resigned, and we have a plan for moving forward for a search for a new village administrator. In the meantime, we are picking up the duties of the administrator with current department heads, and we have a backup plan to hire some outside help to make sure that the village keeps running as efficiently as possible. So you all know that we're trying to keep things moving, but we're in a little bit of a transition here. We just met with the consultant before this meeting for the screen for a new village administrator, and we hope to have someone in the seat by the end of July. And so just wanted to keep you up to date on that. Any other announcements?
Just the resolution correction.
The resolution 2014-07, thanking Trustee Ray Kopisch for his service, years of service to the village board. It was listed that he had served the board for 9 years, because I know that he served 3 full terms. However, he took over for someone else for a year before that. So it was actually 10 years, and we will make that correction to the resolution. Any further announcements? Hearing none, we'll move on to old item 10. Action regarding resolution 2014-10, awarding the sale of $4 million general obligation street improvement bonds, series 2014A. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Gass?
I'll move to adopt resolution 2014-10.
Is there a second?
Okay.
Trustee Gendrich, seconds. Discussion? Mr. Burnt, do you have anything to add? I'm sure some of our visitors are thinking, you know, that's a lot of cash, $4 million.
I would like to have Joe Murray speak for just a couple of minutes from Springstead, and he'll explain to you how the bond issue turned out today. It was very favorable for us.
Mr. Murray came up before our meeting and told us how much money we just saved by. I had shook his hand twice.
Good evening. I'm Joe Murray from Springstead, proud to be the village's financial advisor. And yes, we did have very good news today in the sale of the $4 million general obligation street improvement bonds. I was back in front of you the end of February, we had projected that we would be able to sell the bonds for 20 years at an interest rate of about 3.64%. We received three bids today, the low bid coming in from Robert W. Baird at a true interest cost of 3.15%. So it was savings almost 50 basis points from what we had projected just 2 months ago. What that equates to is that it will allow the village to save over $173,000 in interest costs from where we had projected it just 2 years ago or 2 months ago. The average scale that turns out turns to about to save the village on average $8,000 a year in debt service to pay for it. So it was all very good news. The three bids we received showed good competition. I was a little surprised we didn't get more bids. Right now, the municipal bond market is very slow. There's not a lot of supply, so I thought we would get more bids, but I was very pleased with the end result. All of the bids we received were below the estimate that we had, so those were all very positive. I also wanted to congratulate the village. Your bond rating was affirmed as a AA2. That's a very good rating. There was only two ratings higher to get to a AAA. It reflects the village's modest tax base, your proximity here to the city of Green Bay and the economy. Your good financial operations, you've been able to provide, put money back into your fund balance with a balanced budget for the past several years, which is all very positive. You do have a strong fund balance, those reserves you've built up, and you've got above average wealth indices here in the village. So those are all very good positives. The statement that was made by the analyst was, overall, the village is very, very stable. So that was all very good, and I think that was helped to reflect the good bids that we received today. I have handed out the numbers on the blue sheet in front of you this evening. I would be happy to answer any questions. So we are recommending that the village award the $4 million in general obligation street improvement bonds, Series 2014A, to Robert W. Baird.
Any questions?
Looks good.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good news.
Further discussion on the item? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, we're to public appearances. We will be opening up discussion, albeit structured and somewhat limited for the Safe Routes to School issue and for the sexual offender issue. So if you have a comment on something other than those two issues, you're welcome to approach the podium now. Yes, sir.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue, Green Bay. I'm here to ask you not to approve item number 2313, the Historic Preservation Committee minutes dated 4/14. That was an emergency special meeting, not a regular meeting. The public wasn't aware of it. I did find out about it. I did attend. There was a taking of the property rights at that meeting, and it was snuck in under item number 9 on an update to a nomination form, which was actually a change in policy for the village. So that needs to be discussed at a later date. But if you could just not approve the minutes because they haven't been approved by the committee already. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. We will move on to item 5. action regarding Webster School area improvements based on the Safe Routes to School plan. Is there a motion with regard to this item, or do you want to entertain discussion first? Okay, yeah. You want to go to discussion first? All right, before we start discussion, and we're going to have discussion amongst the board to begin with. Let me say I'm very impressed by the turnout tonight, and I'm very discouraged at the same time. I'd like to see this level of involvement in every aspect of the village, and so I'm hoping that we'll get at least the room half filled of this size when it comes to budget time, because all these issues, your entire village relies on your tax money and the budget, and I think Clarence here, is often at the budget meetings. Mr. Colts, I think I've seen you at a couple of budget meetings, and there are a few others that are regulars, but it's very uncommon, and that's where the rubber hits the road. We're actually planning for the next year. So please, especially considering some of the comments the last time that we all met about how it's, even if it's federal money, we need to spend it wisely, and even if it's the sidewalk, in terms of the sidewalks, it's not the property owners who are paying for the sidewalks. It's still our money as a community. If we truly believe that, then we should be equally invested in the discussions during budget time. We have particular ways that we think we need to spend your money, but we want your input on the entire budget, not just on specific issues. So please keep that in mind as the fall approaches. We will do our best to notify you. Obviously, we can't send out individual invitations to everyone in the village, but it's definitely posted on our website when the budget time occurs. So again, thank you for coming. Thank you as well for the emails and the calls and the petitions. There were plenty of them. My wife called me today. I have not been home since I left this morning at 7. And told me there were lots of messages on the answering machine, and I tried to pick some of them up. I don't think I heard all of them, but that's exactly the kind of involvement that we want from members of the community. That having been said, and there were emails and calls and petitions on both sides of the issue. That having been said, this is an emotional issue, and people are passionate on both sides of it. There has been some what I'm calling rhetoric thrown around. There have been some words used that I think are meant to excite or maybe incite, and we need to keep that under check this evening. I don't want this to get out of hand, and tonight is the night when the decision will be made. And so I'm trusting that all of you will treat one another with the utmost dignity and respect. That means that we are going to be following as close as possible Robert's Rules of Order. When a speaker has the floor, that speaker has the floor, and there will be no interruptions. When you speak, if you're asked to speak, I would prefer that you would speak to me or the board. Technically, you're supposed to be speaking to the village president. You definitely should not be directing questions or making accusations or speaking towards another member of our visitors. I don't want it to be confrontational and in any way threatening. Related to that, I understand that that you're passionate about this issue, and if someone says something that you wish you would have said, you have a desire to clap. I'd like you to try to keep that under control. One, because it slows down the process, and two, it could be, as you know, it's pretty stressful to stand up in front of a room full of people and a board and speak. And it's even more stressful when it starts to get a little bit emotional and confrontational, so I'd like to keep that under check as well. With regard to the efficiency of the meeting, I'm not convinced we haven't heard it all. Right? We spent, what, two and a half hours on this issue last time. As I said, we've gotten a number of emails, many of them sent to the entire board, and phone calls, and we've seen petitions. So how we're going to do this is we're going to have a discussion amongst the board. I'm going to entertain some comments from all of you on both sides of the issue, but we're not going to go through everyone in the room again and rehash the same things that we've already gone over. So if you feel like you have something new to add to the discussion that hasn't taken place either up here or took place last time, feel free to speak. I'd like you to limit your comments to a few minutes, 2 to 3 minutes, and so we can keep this thing going. If I find that you're either repeating yourself or you're repeating something that someone already said, I apologize, but I will interrupt you and ask you to wrap it up. Okay? It's not personal. It's meant to make sure that we don't spend a lot of time rehashing issues and getting into areas where we don't want to go. Okay? All right. Now I can get off of my soapbox and we can start the discussion. Anyone from the board who would like to start the discussion about this issue? We've heard plenty of pros and cons on each side of the aisle. Jim, would you like to start? Or
sure.
Trustee Bradford?
Sure. I'd just like to reiterate President Vandenhoven's comments about thank you very much for the emails you sent. Thank you very much for being here at the last meeting as well as this meeting. We have received an awful lot of emails. I haven't gotten any telephone calls, so I'm a little upset. But call me. When we started this discussion, and I was brand new to the whole thing, I was completely against the sidewalk because why should we spend money on a sidewalk when we have streets that are in need of repair? And then I started to hear from people at the last meeting about parents wanting their kids to go to school and young children stepping up to the front and saying they want to go to school or walk to school. At that point in time, I was hoping we could come up with a nice compromise where we might be able to move sidewalks from Brookridge, as an example, over to the park and up the park. But as we've learned, or as I've learned, that's not the case. We don't have an option to do that. A lot of the reasons against were we don't want to move trees. No one walks on the sidewalks. And the one that bothered me most, quite honestly, was we shouldn't spend money just because we're getting a grant from someone. And so I spent a lot of time talking to people about that and looking into it. I went back to the village's comprehensive plan. And if you go in and read it, 120 times we reference the need for sidewalks and pedestrian walkways in the village. It's seen in 33 pages, and it's the top 10 wish on the wish list for village needs. That was a plan that was developed for the village, by the village, as I understand it. And in doing other research of other communities with sidewalks, we want to keep our neighborhoods safe. We want to keep our kids safe. We want to keep the hearing impaired safe, the visually impaired safe. It's not just for kids, as many of you had mentioned in your emails. For those of you who live on Brookridge and St. Joseph, I understand that you don't want a sidewalk up front. With trees, you can move sidewalks. But in the end, I think it's adding the sidewalks where they are, having been on Brookridge at the end of school days myself just to see, it's crazy. And we have to do something. So not because we're going to lose it if we don't spend it, but because I just think it's the right thing to do at this point that I'm going to support that.
Anyone else who'd like to speak? Trustee Gendron?
Yeah, it's a tough issue. I have the pleasure of having spoken to friends and neighbors on both sides of the issue. And, of course, I always have this need to try to please everybody, but it's just not going to happen, I think. Somebody told me that once. But, you know, and I was before being on the village board, I was on the plan commission here in the village for the last 8 years or the 8 years prior, and had the privilege of going through the comprehensive plan and being involved in the discussion early on about safe routes to schools and all of that. And it's really tough to look at people that don't want this to happen and then to look at the people that do want it to happen and say, okay, how are we going to get these two groups together? And I think there's the reason to believe we can do that. One of the criteria, somebody said, well, no kids have been hurt, so why do we need sidewalks? And I'm thinking, great, let's just keep that going. You know, we don't want to be in a position to say, well, now that someone's gotten hurt, let's react to that. We're in a favorable position because of the grant situation. We won't know until tomorrow, I think, if we'll get the grant or not. But if we don't go forward with our application, then we know we won't, obviously. So as much as I've been trying to be sensitive to all sides of the issue, I think the right thing is to continue to support what the Plan Commission recommended, what Brown County Planning has recommended, and also what this board has recommended. I'm hoping that there's a little more flexibility in the grant than we think there may be to tweak some of those plans a little bit to try to arrive at a little better compromise. But at this point, I'd have to support where we currently are. So,
Trustee Dart.
I have to agree with Trustee Gingrich and Rafter. And it is a hard decision, but it's been a long time in the working, and it would be very tough for us to pass up on the opportunity to get more sidewalks and make our community more walkable. And I serve on Plan Commission now, and it's always one of the topics that's always discussed. How can we use alternative methods of getting around our village? How can people, you know, walk places? Or how can we get to the parks? And how can we connect safe places for our children to go? We have an opportunity to do that with this plan. And the trend in the United States now is to work for more alternative solutions to transportation. Part of that is walking and biking. So on all of the committees that I sit on, and I work at a school, and I see kids walk to school, and my kids went to Webster, and it is crazy over there. The sidewalks is only part of this plan. There's other communication, training, and other things that can happen to make this plan work. I know people say the sidewalk might not change, you know, it's not going to change everything. The sidewalk is part of the safe route to school plan. So I just want to say I am in support of the plan, and it is tough looking at other residents that I know and aren't for this. But I just think in the best interest of the future and of our children, we need to do this.
Trustee Guest.
No, I'll hearken back to what everybody else said too. This is a tough decision. It oftentimes pits, neighbors against neighbor in terms of, what should happen or what could happen. I've looked at the comprehensive plan several times, and I see that there is, provision in the comprehensive plan to increase walkability in the community, to increase, people's ability to bike in the community. I've also reviewed several different times the comprehensive plan, all 137 pages of it. That was compiled with a task force of some 18 members, professionals, in the educational field, in the community planning field. We also had the Brown County, Plan Commission involved in this process. So I think the work was well done. It was a very comprehensive study addressed by a number of professionals in this area. And what they recommend in terms of the sidewalks, squares with our comprehensive plan, to make the community more bikeable and walkable. I've had occasion to, be at or near Webster School because I know this has been an issue for quite some time. And it is crazy, though. And sometimes, some of the worst perpetrators are parents, who act like children sometimes. Yeah. So this is a multifaceted response to the problem. And this is one component of it, to make it easier for kids to walk to school. I mean, I've had, and I'm not happy about it, but I've had occasion to see kids walking to school and walking in the streets, walking around cars. And that's just not safe in my estimation. And if we can make it better by the installation of some sidewalks, then I think that that's the prudent and appropriate course of action. I think, what really sways me, in addition to the safety, is the fact that, the village is not going to assess any property owner for the installation of the sidewalk. I would take that, to be a much bigger issue if we went to the property owners and said, we know you don't want sidewalk, we're going to make you pay to put them in, but we're not going to do that. So I think because of the comprehensive plan, because of this 137-page report in terms of the safe, routes to schools, I'm in favor of the adoption of it. I think it's good for the village long term. And I know that the residents who are going to have sidewalks installed in front of their homes aren't happy about it. But I've seen a number of projects work through this village, because I've sat on public works for quite a few years. We have a very competent public works director, and we have a very competent public works staff. You know, this project will be done right, and it'll look as best as it can. You know, I mean, the people that live there don't want to see the sidewalks, but this project will be well done. So for all of those reasons, I'm in favor of the proposition. I think it's a wise course of action for this community at this time, since it squares with so many of our fundamental principles, and particularly the safety of the kids. I mean, I'd like to encourage more kids to walk to school, and I think there will be an increase if it's easier for them to get there. I've had kids too. I never like dropping my kids off at school. If they could walk and they could be safe, I knew they'd be safe. I'd have encouraged my kids to walk to school more frequently. So I think there's a lot of things that work, but I think in the balance of things, you know, this project is a good project.
Trustee Dennis? Well, I guess I enjoyed my one term. I'm going to have to disagree with everybody.
Sir?
Let's hold it down, please. Primarily because there are aspects of this that are truly not smart. To have two sidewalks on Beaumont Street, landing at 747s, I mean, that's ridiculous. My daughter walks that street every day. There's no need for two sidewalks there. And a sidewalk on the south side of the parking lot at St. Matt's is not a good idea either. So there are some specific issues, and I won't go any further. I'm sorry. I apologize
for getting
into that. But there are some wonderful parts of this. And I wish that there was a way that it could be done where we could have a line item veto, for lack of a better phraseology, because there are aspects of this that aren't really as opportune as they could be. And there are other areas that could have been done better. And I realize there is no perfect plan. And I've had kids walking to school since 1997 and continue up until this morning, provided that you got them. And I understand the need for sidewalks. And people walk through our neighborhood every day on the streets, and you know, those kids who need to walk on the grass, walk on the grass. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But I have a hard time looking at this and saying, okay, we have someone who's given us a bunch of money, let's go ahead and spend it. We tell our kids not to do that. And I guess from my own standpoint, I guess I can't support this. And I realize I'm the minority, and I'm okay with that.
In the large amount of emails, communications I've received, I've seen both sides, and as you started off with, it's passionate, both sides. I think about if I'm living on, whether it's Brook Ridge or any of the other streets affected, how I would feel if it was happening to me, and I see that point directly. One of the emails, I can't remember exactly who sent it to me, talked about how they have a car and a motorhome parked in their driveway right now, and putting in those sidewalks is going to affect it. So it will affect them. It'll affect some of the people on those streets negatively. However, we're also going to get a large positive effect, and those are the things that we're trying to balance here. It's my first term as a village trustee. I haven't read it, every single word in there, but the 130-some page comprehensive plan, I looked through that as I was going through the election process. And the references to the sidewalks happen again and again and again. I think about the people who are on the street who would potentially have sidewalks put in there, and if they're trying to sell their home down the road, is a young family going to be interested more or less if there are sidewalks there? Trying to balance all those different things. I also see the possibility that the sidewalks could get used on more than just to and from school. So there's all those different things to take into account. I don't know if it will increase if we vote to take the grant gets approved, if it will increase the amount of kids walking to and from school, but I know it won't decrease them.
Steve, can I say one last thing?
Yes, you may.
Well, thank you.
60 seconds or less, Trustee Brown.
15 seconds.
All right.
If it's any consolation to those who don't want the sidewalks because they're concerned that kids aren't going to use them, I can suggest take a look at the folks who have showed up to this meeting, the emails we've received, the petitions that have been signed. I ask the people who, if it does get approved, I ask you people to follow through on that and get your kids walking. Thank you.
This is obviously a really very difficult issue, and I agree with much of what's been said. I started out at supporting this because it had already been supported by the board once before, and for all the reasons that were mentioned here, it's very consistent with what we say we do in Alloway. We're supposed to be the walkable, bikeable, sustainable community, and historically progressive, and this fits very well with that. So I admit I started there, and then I tried to step back and, as I do with most things, I have this big pro and con list, and all of you helped me to add to each side of it, and it's become unwieldy, actually, and I'm not going to go through all of it, because then we'll be here until 10:30, just for me. There were some legitimate arguments against putting the sidewalks in, and the ones that resonated with me most, or I ended up thinking about the most, were... One, the survey, the research that was done with the school, families of school children came back with a very low N. The more that I thought about it, however, I know that in the best of all worlds, you do statistically valid and reliable survey research, and you make sure that you do sampling statistics and inferential stats. And in my experience, when you're dealing with a non-profit, and especially when you're dealing with trying to get kids to provide data for you, it just doesn't work like that very well. And I agree with, I don't know who said it last time, it would be nice if we could do an experiment and put them in and see if it helped, and then if it didn't, we'd take them out. But of course, we can't do that. The part of this that's really not sitting well with me has nothing to do with the content of the plan. I think the plan is a good plan. I don't think it's the best plan. I think we could have done better. And the reason that we didn't do better is because of public input. I'm also disappointed. I don't think anyone mentioned maintenance of the sidewalks, and that's sort of the elephant in the room that no one wants to talk about. But if it were getting put in my front yard, I would be against it just because I didn't want to maintain it. And I think that's really the heart of some of these issues, but I don't think we've had candid conversations with one another and put that out. But so that's stuck in my mind, that some folks are going to have to either shovel it themselves or hire a service. And if you're on a fixed income, it's a whole different ball of wax for you. But the thing that really is tripping me up, that's making me lean towards not supporting this, is the way that we did it. I know that we have a comprehensive plan, and I know that we had listening sessions when we put together the Safe Routes to School, but at no point in that process did we notify the people on the streets that we were going to be directly affected that this was coming down the pipe. And we've done this before, and everywhere I've ever gone or where I've worked, communication is always listed as something we need to work on in our organization. And I think it's a ubiquitous complaint that people have. I think it's even more important here when you're working in the public sector to make sure that people are engaged. I started out our conversation tonight by saying how happy I am that all of you are here. We have an engagement problem with our municipalities. It's not just Alloway. Any municipality you go to, the public meetings are just not well attended. People's lives are crazy. That's why they're dropping their kids off at school, because they're rushing off to go to work. People's lives are crazy, and they simply don't know when things are taking place in their village, like their village is putting together a budget, or they're going to put sidewalks in front of their houses, or they're going to be changing laterals. They simply don't know, and to ask them to come to the village website every 2 days and see what's changed, or the sexual offender issue is the same thing. It's a communication issue. Should you have to go to the website every few days to see if a sexual offender is going to be living in your neighborhood? I think that's unrealistic, and so I think we, and I'm not blaming the staff, I'm not blaming that we as a village have sort of dropped the ball on making sure that people get the information that they need to get to make informed decisions. It shouldn't be an 11th hour, somehow people find out something's going to happen and it becomes a real emotional issue, and then people on the other side of the aisle, and there's just this flurry. And let's all admit it, this past 2 weeks has been a flurry of activity surrounding this issue. We shouldn't be dealing with flurries. We should be dealing with very intentional, respectful, logical conversations with one another, and that didn't happen. And so that's why I'm having a hard time supporting this, is that we didn't get the public input on both sides early on, and I think it's vitally important to engage the people who are going to be the most directly affected. So as much as it hurts me to not, I can't support this motion. It was my inclination at the last meeting to see if there was any wiggle room in how we spent the money, and to see if there's any way that we could re-engage and figure out a solution that worked for everyone. It simply is impossible. This is an all or nothing proposition. I also think we dropped the ball a little bit about not making sure that people understood that this is one part of a larger package. That there were comments made that the real problem is there's no place for people to navigate in their cars around Webster School. If you've ever been up there, it's true. I mean, we have to do more than put in sidewalks. That's not going to solve the problem at all. It's a zoo up there. I went up there and watched 2 days last week, and then the second time I actually was out polling a few people. Not a statistically valid survey, but just to get a sense of where people landed on this, and they landed exactly where all of you are landing. I had two people who said, no, don't put them in, and I had two people who said, we absolutely need them. And then I had two people who said, I don't care. It's not going to affect me. That we live across Libel, and it's not safe for us to cross, for my kids to cross Libel, so we're not going to have them walk anyway. And I got people whose kids were at the school, and I got a couple of people who had no children at the school, who were just walking their dog. So I agree with everything that everyone said. This is a plan not only for Webster School, it's for the community. It fits well, but I just don't like, the way that we did it, and there's nobody to blame but all of us collectively. And I put some of that on all of you, because again, you're not showing up until it's right in your face and there's an issue that's near and dear to you. I hope that you would engage more. And someone said the very first meeting that we talked about this, as far as residents go, we have a responsibility if you hear something is going to happen to engage your neighbors in the process as well, and I agree with that. But for some reason, I've mulled this over. I've been on both sides of this. I'm going to definitely vote this way, and the next day I thought about it some more. I'm definitely going to vote the other way. So it's been a difficult decision for me. The process that we used to get here just doesn't sit very well with me. All right, I've said enough. I'm going to entertain some limited discussion, if it's okay with the board. And again, be forewarned that I might cut you off in the middle of your comments, and I might cut off conversation overall when you're not expecting it. So, yes, sir, please. Yep, I'll get you next.
Hi, good evening, everyone. I was at the last meeting. My name is Daniel Janowski, 159 Berber Street. I just have a few questions. I will not repeat from last time. I'd like to start by asking the members of the board, if I may, to raise your right hand if you have read in its entirety the 137-page Safe Routes to School plan.
Oh, boy.
That's, yeah. I'm not appreciating the rhetoric that you're using, sir.
Okay,
you could ask people if they've read it, but I don't like the rhetoric of raising your right hand.
Okay, well, I would like some acknowledgement by the board that they've read the 137-page plan that they're proposing to use as a decision tool to spend this money.
I think you heard from most of our comments, of those who have and haven't. I think
Trustee Harris, the Safe Routes Plan or the Comprehensive Plan?
The 137-page Safe Routes to School.
Oh, the Comprehensive Plan is different than the Safe Routes.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Yes, yeah. Not the Bay Village Comprehensive Plan, but the 137 with the picture of the kids biking up.
Yeah. I'm assuming that you've all read that. That's what this is all about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not seeing
Is this a public comment or is this a pleasure?
I'd like to know if you read the plan, if you're going to make the decision on our behalf, it helps to.
And what is your comment?
Sure. All right, well, if you have read it, if you could point out anywhere on any page where there is a single measurable numerical outcome that will tell you if this plan is a success, how will you know it's a success?
Is that your comment, or is that
a question to the board. There is not a single place in the 137 pages that lists any measurable outcome that will tell you at any point in the future, yes, this plan was successful. There is nothing that says that it can be measured. No increase in walkers, no decrease in cars dropping off their children, nothing at all. So to implement a plan without being able to measure its effectiveness does not seem reasonable, and it doesn't seem sound to spend money.
Sir, someone has the floor, please. Thank you.
So I would like to know how we know the investment is a success. Not based on emotion, not based on children walking to school. The children that are here tonight are going to graduate, and they're going to move on. But those sidewalks are still going to be in front of the folks' homes, and they're still going to have to maintain them long after those children are gone.
Can I summarize your strong recommendation is that outcomes be included in this plan if it were to move forward?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, repeatable, measurable outcomes. I also would like to know why we base our reference plan on the master pedestrian plan of the city of San Diego, California. A city of 1.34 million people that bears little to no resemblance to Alloway. That we couldn't find a small village that looked more like ours and followed its plan instead. This is all in the 137 pages, in case you need to go back and reread it. So I think the only reasonable... I also agree with President Vandenham on his reasoning. This wasn't done well. It wasn't done right from the beginning, and the input of the people that are going to be affected in perpetuity as long as they live there was never taken into account. I'm all for walking. We have six children of our own. We walk a lot. We actually live on Webster Park, four houses from the top of Brookridge Street, and we've lived there for 7.5 years. So I had the opportunity, not just for an afternoon or two or for a morning or two, but for 7.5 years of empirical observation to watch cars come and go and children come and go to and from the school. This is not about safety, even though it's kind of put in the guise of safety. It may improve safety, it may not, I don't know. There's nothing in the plan that says it will measure that. If the plan is unsuccessful, will the sidewalks be removed and the trees be replanted? No, it's a one-way road. So I urge you to consider President Vandenhoven and Trustee Dennis's positions to not move forward with this plan and to be good stewards not only of the village's money and our money, but also of the additional monies that would be attached to this plan.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Sir.
My name is Philip Barman, 2423 Beaumont Street, and I didn't really hear about this until about 2 days ago. For one of the things, we do have on Beaumont Street a sidewalk going on the other side of our street. Hardly anybody ever uses it. Now, the other thing is, 3 years ago, the city came in and put a new hydrant in on the corner of my property, which is going to have to be torn out again. Then the next year they came in and did East Whitney, tore the brand new hydrant out and put another brand new hydrant in. I mean, you guys are wasting money like it's going out of style. And now you want, and then in the front of my house I have a tree and I built beautiful little L fences that took me all summer to construct, and you're going to tear those out? I mean, this is ridiculous. And then plus we're going to have to be able to shovel the sidewalks. And this is a place where hardly anybody walks down the street. It doesn't connect with Alloway Avenue.
I'm going to have to interrupt you, sir. These are all points have all been made in previous conversations. Sir, in the yellow jacket here, please.
Mr. President, members of the board, thank you for this opportunity. I live on, I'm Hayden Groy, 121 Green Avenue, and we had sidewalks put in across the street, one way only, one side, about 3 years ago, and they are used. It's surprising how many people use them, not only kids going to school, you see people jogging, you see young children who are not school age out there riding tricycles, things like that, and it's safe for them. We're near Heritage, Heritage Hill, so we get more traffic than we would on Brookridge Road. On the other hand, their driving conditions have changed these days. There are more hybrid cars, and if they're on battery power, you don't hear them. So from a pedestrian, if you're out in the street, that's not safe. Driving habits have changed. People are using cell phones, way too much driving, in my opinion. But again, it's another safety issue. Myself, I have neuropathy, which makes me seem my nerves and my feet are not as good as they should be. And I have some balance problems. And I feel much safer on a sidewalk than I do out on the streets. And I shouldn't say don't go on a sidewalk. I also sympathize with people who have trees that are lost. I've planted literally 2,000 trees in my lifetime. I've also had to cut down trees at times when they were in the wrong place or not there. So I thank you for this opportunity. Don't feel badly that you haven't been able to communicate well enough. That's always a problem. You can never do, unless you go door to door and talk to everybody, you can never notify everybody. So thank you.
And you're not a school at the Webster, or not a student at Webster School, right?
Not anymore.
Yeah, we're going to wrap up comment by 7:30, just so you know. I'm going to take the woman here in the front in the green, and then we'll go back here.
Good evening.
Remember, I'm sorry to interrupt, please. If you can try to add something that hasn't been said before.
I have a little comment I think that could be pertinent.
Okay,
good evening. My name is Janice Galt. I live on Mission Road. I've been there for 28 years. I surely do miss sidewalks. I've lived on Irwin Street for 8 years, and I use them every day. However, I think what's good enough for De Pere is good enough for Alloway, and I really support the sidewalks.
Thank you. Sir, yes.
Thank you. My name is Ed Keating, and I live at 153 Brookridge. Maybe it's not a matter of the feet, but it looks like leaning towards being voted in to go ahead with this project. So, if in fact that happens, who do we talk to? How do we get some guidance? You can put in a nice straight line sidewalk, but that sure is going to take out a lot of trees. I'm just wondering, is there a way to zigzag the sidewalk?
I've seen them zigzag around
poles.
Yeah. Mr. Byrne, could you describe the process a little bit and when this is actually going to happen? It's not going to happen tomorrow, we know that. And when plans will be shared, specifics about what will have to be taken out and what won't?
We would look at this. This project will go into an engineering phase. If the project is awarded, it will go into an engineering phase. We will look at sidewalks like we did on Green Avenue. We routed the sidewalk around some trees. It doesn't follow the curb line straight down. There will be a lot of investigation of that to see how we can best fit it. And so we would be the contact person with that as we get into that part of the project.
And can we make sure to make individual efforts or efforts to make sure that the affected properties know when those plans are going to make their appearance and they get it. Okay.
So we'll have some input somewhere from. I mean, they won't just show up with a big digger thing to put in a sidewalk.
No, this would go through the Public Works Committee with public input. So you would have a chance.
Okay. So, are there other places in town that put in a ziggy-zag sidewalk rather than a straight line?
Well, Green Avenue is a good example.
It is.
Okay. I'll have to go look at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Ma'am, please. Mr. Colson, I'll get you next. Okay. It's your reward for showing up every 2 weeks.
First, I'd like to thank you for allowing me to speak, and I will try to keep this very brief, lamenting on what Trustee Genrich and Trustee Dart had said. I think it's wonderful to see people here on both sides, both in favor and opposed to it. I am in strong favor of this for the children's safety and having them be able to walk to school with their safety being at the forefront of, hopefully, tonight's decision. The only option right now for our kids to walk to school while on the west side of Woodrow Way is in the middle of the road or on the east side of the road on Woodrow Way. And though dangerous any time of year, specifically in winter, I firsthand have witnessed seeing a child walking in the middle of the road and the car's not getting traction with the snowbanks juking out on either side. It really leaves a narrow thoroughfare for the kids to get through. And though the car did regain traction, the child did jump away. It scared me and it stopped my heart. So as a parent, you know, we walk to school from time and again, and I just think that the forefront of the safety of the children is what should be our best vested interest. And I hope that it will pay mind to the much-needed safety plan to be set in place to save a horrible addition to this nationwide statistic of children's injuries and fatalities that could otherwise be prevented. Furthermore, hoping it doesn't take a tragedy to elicit change. As this very much needed project is budgeted by the DOT, it would be a shame not to see the safety of our children to be at the forefront of tonight's decision.
I'm going to interrupt. Okay. We've heard about safety. We've heard about the expense report. Is there anything that you have new to add?
Can I give some statistics from a study that I found?
Did they regard safety? Or
safety, yes.
Yeah, I don't think we need them. I think we've gotten the safety issue pretty much down. Do you have something to wrap up with?
I will say, too, in addition to what everybody knows, physical activity, I'm involved with our early morning movers program at Webster School, and it's been cold, so I'm going to get this started back up again. If you keep children active and you keep them physically fit before school starts, I think that it opens up their mind to being able to learn more efficiently because they're able to get that dopamine dump from physical fitness, and I think that, too, would be a benefit to have people want to see their children get physical activity without their safety being compromised. And I'm going to wrap this up. I've got some petitions here that I would like to address.
We need a name.
We need a name.
People
and address.
Can you give your name and address for you?
Yes.
Mr. Colts, please.
Jim Colts, 524.
Wait, I need your name.
Hi.
Sorry.
Oh, I'm wrapping it up. I'm Tiffany Hoffman, and I reside at 1333 Grignon.
Thank you. Mr. Colts.
Jim Colts, 524 St. Joseph. The plan again still shows St. Joseph Street with a sidewalk going from Libel to East River Drive. I hope that last time they told me that's out. I hope that's out and that they're not putting sidewalk down there.
I think there's sidewalk down there, isn't there, Mr. Brent?
Is there a sidewalk from Libel to East River Drive on St. Joseph? Look at that plan and it shows it. On that black plan.
I don't believe that is in our funding application, though. I do not believe that that's in there.
And there's one drawing where he's right. It's on there. Mr. Foltz, can you work that out with Mr. Byrne? Does that have relevance for the board in your decision, that stretch?
They tell me that.
It's in the plan.
I've been told that, but it always comes back in that plan. And to begin with, it never should be on that side. It should be on the north side. And also, when they put these in, are they going to plow them like the other ones or not?
No.
No. Okay. And thanks for the
Sir, right here on the end, please.
Thanks for the notification. Thank you.
Mike Liss, 232 East St. Joseph Street. I'm not going to go over everything, but part of the plan was to eliminate the traffic up at Webster School. We already have a sidewalk on one side of St. Joseph's. I've said it doesn't get used. I've been there 20 years. But to get rid of the traffic up at school, every year Webster School puts out a newsletter to tell the parents how to pick up the kids. So if they went to a different plan, there are 5 different exit areas from Webster Park. If they have the kindergarten kids get picked up now on Woodrow, and I don't know if the parents are going to sit in their cars or walk up to school, it's up to them, We have the kindergartens picked up behind school on Woodrow. First grade could be picked up at the municipal lot south side of school. Second graders are old enough to walk down to the playground on Webster Park where 20 or 30 cars park now. Third graders could walk to the path by where Floral and Schrader's meet. There's a path there. Parents could park there. Fourth and fifth graders could walk down to the path halfway down Brookridge where parents could park there. That would get rid of all your traffic, or three-quarters of your traffic, up by Webster School on Woodrow Drive. Because putting sidewalks, another sidewalk on St. Joseph's, is not going to get rid of the traffic up at school because the parents want to be right up by school to pick up the kids. So spread the parents out. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Sir, here.
Sean Ryan.
I'm sorry, Sean. We're going to take two more after Sean, and then we're going to wrap it up.
Sean Ryan, 1971 Prescott Place. I currently reside in Ledgeview, formerly of Alloway. My children do go to school, though, at St. Matt's in Alloway. Just a few things to point out about these processes. I was involved early on the Alloway Walks and Bikes Committee. I've served in other communities, including Howard's. As elected leaders, the difficult thing for you right now is you need to see through the comments. Everybody has an agenda. But what you need to weigh is what comments really go towards public goods and what comments go towards personal agendas and personal inconvenience. People will throw whatever arguments they think will stick at the wall to try to persuade you. And to that extent, the interesting thing in these discussions is always the argument that the process was flawed, that the process wasn't inclusive enough, that the people who are unhappy with what's being proposed were not pulled in from the beginning. I would argue just the opposite. The process was very objective. The process includes input from safety professionals, engineers, and recreational advocates. This is about safe routes to school. So, yeah, it is advocating not for an alternative transportation plan to get more cars there, but to get more kids being able to walk to school. Those engineers, those advocates, those experts are on those committees precisely because they don't have those personal biases. They're there looking out for the greater good of the community. They're not trying to put a sidewalk on each and every road in this community. They're trying to put them to where it's prudent and where it makes sense from a safety and a financial standpoint. And safety has to be first in your decision-making. The final thing I'd add, I was one of the most vocal advocates for the Fox River Trail, and emotions ran very high with that, too. What you need to recognize is, as unhappy or happy as people are going to be with whatever decision you make, the reality is things calm down after. And after the Fox River Trail was built, many of the people who were strongly opposed to the Fox River Trail not only learned to live with it, but many of them became very frequent users of it and benefited from it. And even the people that were on the opposite side of the fence and counted me as their enemies eventually became friends. I was proud to serve on the Brown County Library Board with Terry Watermullen, who 5 years previously would have told you I was his archenemy.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ma'am, please. Oh, it's a two-for-one sale.
Mary Jo Nelson, 201 Brookridge. I'm the hander-outer. I have a petition from all but two of the homes on Brookridge Street. And I'll get that to you.
Thank you.
And then I also have some comments I was going to read, but it would take me 10 minutes, so I'll just hand them out, copies of them.
Thank you.
As she hands those out, my name is Shelley Young. I live at 207 Brookridge Street. First of all, I want to begin by saying thank you. Thank you for having this discussion. My mother was a teacher at Webster School for 35 years. Prior to that, she was at Alloway School. She would be here tonight, but she is not able to walk very well. Anyway, I just have a couple of questions for you. First of all, we're talking about the removal of 28 mature tree kids. Who's paying for the removal of those trees? Is that the homeowner's responsibility?
No, we take those trees out as part of the construction.
In addition, who is going to pay for the maintenance of the sidewalks once they have been installed and need to be repaired?
The village does that.
The village pays for all of that. I just also want to point out to the village board, this is my neighborhood. This is not my neighborhood. I understand they walk to Webster School, but these are the people that will have to shovel the sidewalks. These are the people that are going to have to pay to have somebody shovel the sidewalks. I'm the youngest person on my street. So please take that into consideration. Also, I just want to ask the question. I didn't even think about this until this evening. We are about to have a discussion about 16 sexual offenders that live in and around Webster School. How many parents are going to allow their children to walk to school with 16 sexual offenders in the neighborhood? I leave that as a really good question for you to answer.
Thank you. We're going to take one more, sir, please.
Dave Pass, 308 Warren Court. I'm going to make this really quick. I'm not going to address all the issues. There's a lot of issues here and a lot of good points. But on the question of whether or not the sidewalk will be used, there's a running club at Webster School that runs Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, training for CELCOM and Bella. And I quite often show up to help with that. And we start that off every time by saying, make sure you don't run on people's lawns. Respect the private property. You got to stay in the street. So if there's a question about whether or not people are going to use them, I can tell you as soon as they're in, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, the comment will be stick to the sidewalks. Don't run on the streets. Just something really quick.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up and take up the rules. I'm sorry if you didn't get a chance to add to the discussion, but as you know from last time, we could be here for a really long time. Again, I think we've heard just about everything, and I really do appreciate your input. So we will take up the rules. I have just one additional discussion item. Again, thank you for all of your input. Again, I think this is a good plan. It's not the best plan. I, too, have questions as to why sidewalks are placed where they are. St. Joseph's, do we need two, one on each side? Why on the north side of Brookers instead of the south side, which looks like it has fewer trees to me? But again, my problem has been with the process, and I'm going to make a promise to all of you to have this happen less frequently. We need to have better communication. Trustee Rafter has put an item on the agenda last time, and for revisiting for this time, for improving communication with the village residents. And I think, in my mind, that's what's at the heart of this issue. I do think the sidewalks will get used. I do think that those who have them put in their front yards will get used to them after a while, although it will continue to be a hardship in the winter for some. And I think overall it's a good thing as a package to remove the to address the congestion at that school. It's a huge problem. And I had never really been up there for extended periods of time when school started or let out. It's controlled chaos with the control being optional. So I'm glad to hear that we have other facets of this plan. I think what should have happened is maybe those should have started first, and then this would have been used to augment those, and everyone would have been on the same page and had input up front. So I'm going to work very hard to try to make sure that this sort of thing doesn't happen again. Trustee Rafter.
Last comment I'd like to make is if all of you, if you haven't already, if you would be kind enough to go to the Village website at villageofalloway.com, and click on Contact Us and sign up for the email distribution list. That will go a long way to helping us stay informed or keeping you informed with what's going on. Thanks.
I think if this does not pass tonight, that we would get it next year. I mean, I know that it's a whole new ballgame next year, but I think if it didn't pass tonight and we regrouped and did this the right way, I'm convinced we would get it next year. The question is, would we want to wait a year and risk the chance that that controlled chaos turns into something very tragic? Trustee Gass.
Well, I think in terms of the process, I mean, I think, you know, I've been on board for a few years, and I think this board has made excellent strides in enhancing communication with the residents. It's by no means perfect, and it should and needs to be revisited periodically to make it as all-inclusive as possible. But, you know, we've been very active in the website. We've been very active in email-type systems. We've done a good job. Could it be better? Sure. And we can talk about how to make it better. I know there's been many, many instances where the board has instructed that individualized notice be given. So I don't have a problem with the process. I mean, I think there were multiple, at least 7 or 8 or 10 task force meetings that were all public meetings. There were plan commission meetings that were all public meetings. There were village board meetings that were all public meetings. Can it be better? Sure. And let's talk about how to make it better. So I don't have a process problem. I still think it's a good idea. I think, you know, Mr. Ryan's comments, you know, kind of struck me, you know, that it's our job, in my estimation, to do what's in the public interest. And for all of the reasons that have been discussed, including safety and the similarity and lining up with the comprehensive plan about walkability and sustainability, and, I'm in favor. And if you're willing to entertain a motion, I'll make it.
I am one more thing that I'm willing to entertain a motion. I would suggest that you include in the motion some discussion of Sir, I can't remember your last name, the IO psychologist. Mr. Janowski's of having some measurable outcomes. I think in any, he's right, in any good plan you have outcomes, and then you can demonstrate maybe to some people who are naysayers that that you really did achieve what you were set out to achieve. Trustee Dennis, did you have some?
I would like to say just a couple quick things. One of them, I'm not against sidewalks when they're replaced in places where they need to be. Woodrow absolutely needs a sidewalk. There's no doubt about that. Part of the situation is the traffic flow needs to be changed at the top of the hill at Oak Ridge. We can talk to address that at a separate time. I have an idea about that. The best thing you can do is what a lot of you have done. I had a lot of phone calls. And to call us or to get on us and say, this is what I'm interested in, that's what really makes the system work. That's what makes us pay attention. And the gentleman who asked about whether we could zigzag around the tree, don't be afraid to pick up the phone and call and say, what's going on with the sidewalks or what's going on with this? Because if you take an active role, we'll do what needs to be done. And we'll take the input. But we need to hear from people. So that's all.
Mr. Burns, you informed me along the way here of all the different projects that are going to be augmenting this. Can we make sure to get a discussion about those as soon as possible, even if we're not even in the planning stages? But I'd like to have a discussion at board level and make sure that all these folks in the room understand exactly all the different aspects of making this a safer place for kids to go to school. Thank you. Trustee Gass, I will entertain a motion if you're ready.
I'll make a motion that the board approve the Webster Area School Improvement Plan based upon the Safe Routes to School Plan. Second part of the motion is that the Public Works Director be charged with giving individualized notice to the affected residents concerning the engineering process that we can receive public input. And then number three, the Public Works Committee be charged with the responsibility to try to develop objective criteria in terms of the success of the program.
Is there a second? Trustee Genrich seconds. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No.
No.
The motion carries.
2-0.
2-0. Mark 5.
Okay, don't be shy. If you don't really want to hang around for the other stuff, I think the sexual offender discussion is going to be an important one, but some of this you might not be that interested in. Feel free to stay, but if you can't, that's fine. We're going to take a 2-minute recess while people file up.
Just a comment that I love how...
We're going to...
I got it right now.
Reconvene.
See you, John. Hey,
there must be a reconvene to open session. Trustee Harris, is there a
second?
I will second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are in open session. Number 24, review of the sex offender residency restrictions and notification process. Just a quick reminder of where we ended last time, that there is an offender moving in on Tap Street. Is it Tap Street?
Yes.
And or who has moved in, and we were wondering about the process, if we could sort of tweak the process so that people would be notified earlier. I think the comment I made at the end of last meeting was the result probably wouldn't have been any different because we can't, according to our ordinance, prevent this person from living in this spot, but I think we could do a better job of notifying residents that it either is going to happen or it has happened in the recent past. We asked DEL Lopnow to explore, there are different levels of sexual offender. whether they are active or I think they call them terminated or something. They're no longer on supervision. And whether it would be legal, depending on that status, to be able to notify residents or not. And then asked him to get some statistics on when we adopted our ordinance. Again, I think we did the prudent thing, and we wasn't a knee-jerk reaction to what Green Bay did. I think what they did was irresponsible. And but we promised to keep our finger on the pulse of how many offenders we have in the village. If that number is disproportionate to surrounding municipalities, including Green Bay, and then asked him, although these data I think have been a little bit harder to collect, whether or not the type of offense that we're getting in Alloway is different than the type of offense, even if the raw or the numbers are similar, the proportions are correct, if the type of offense is different. So DEO Lotnow is back this evening with an update on where we are with that. Again, these are two very much related but separate issues. One is the process of notification, and the other is the actual ordinance. And we can't change the ordinance tonight. We're not here to change the ordinance. We're here to talk about the process. If we want to revisit the ordinance, that's going to happen as we move forward. Okay? DEO Lotnow.
Okay. Since the last meeting, I've spent the last few weeks in communication with the Department of Corrections, and we sat down and were finally able to get together for a meeting yesterday. I met with Jed Newman, who was at the last meeting. He's the head of the Sex Offender Registry. I also met with Erica McDonald, who is a specialist with the Sex Offender Registry as well. With a meeting with them, as far as notifications go, and I know what got brought up, at the last meeting, that was why didn't we know about this ahead of time specifically. The state follows state statute and law more or less on how their notifications work. When an offender is released from prison, to put it in basic terms, what happens is between probation, parole, representatives from many different local law enforcement agencies, the district attorney's office, they get together and they review the case and decide what level of notification that they're going to do. Level one is simply notifying the local law enforcement agency that the person is going to be residing in their area. Level two is notifying law enforcement plus possibly the victim of the crime, the victim's family, other people pertinent to the case, depending on the facts of the case. Level three is what they call a special bulletin notification, which is the most serious, I guess, so to speak, where they do notification to the community and they do a press release. In that case, from my experience in Alloway, we only had one of those in which we had flyers made up from Dan Cadets, go hand out flyers to neighbors, and I know there was a press release and that kind of information was put out. So there isn't always an automatic notification to residents prior to. Now, the information of where the offenders are registering is always available on the website. Like what's been discussed, we don't expect people to be looking at their computer every day, checking to see if any offenders moved in next door. On a local level, the issues that come up with doing notifications, or at least trying to do them ahead of time, come with, like Steve mentioned, there's offenders that are terminated, we refer to them as, which means they're not on active supervision from probation and parole. They don't report to a probation agent. They're not under supervision at all. Their only restriction is that due to their offense, whatever it is, their time served, but they still have to register with the Sex Offender Registry. They don't have to do that ahead of time. They're not going to the Department of Corrections and saying, is it okay if I go move here? They are making a decision where they want to live, and the requirement is they have 10 days to change their address with the registry.
Would those kind of offenders, would they still show up on the website?
Yes, they will.
They will.
Yes. But in order to, that being the situation, from our end right now, it would be almost impossible to notify ahead of time. With offenders that are on active supervision, they do report to a probation agent. The probation agent does have to approve the residence they're looking at. There's criteria that the probation agents use in assessing it, whether they have family nearby, is it Are they able to go to work from there? Transportation, the neighborhood, different criteria like that. But it's not necessarily they go to each neighbor and say, do you think it's okay if this person lives there? So the notification part isn't necessarily there. The thing that comes up with at the local level is, say, you know, if we try to implement an ordinance or policy that we want anybody who's a registered sex offender to check in so that we can go notify neighbors ahead of time. In checking with Department of Corrections and talking to Dennis Duffy's office, we're not aware of any other municipalities.
Dennis Duffy is the village attorney.
We're not aware of any other municipalities that have a process or an ordinance that does that. It also brings up the issue of, well, if someone has to go register with the registry and then they have to come check locally if it's okay, are they going to do it? And if we're the only one that has that process or, say, an ordinance in place, how are offenders going to know about it? And will they actually follow through? Or are we basically creating violations by bringing that up? So there's a lot of questions involved that would be up, that would, you know, need to be discussed with the village attorney's office if that's something the village would want to consider.
So there's no way if someone's at a certain level and they register with the, at the sheriff's office that we could somehow get notification that an offender has registered there so that we as a village could notify the neighbor.
That is going to be part of my next point.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That I wanted to bring up. I did talk to Captain Sanborn at the sheriff's office to make sure we're on the same page, because what's happened in the past, what I'm finding out, is I've had some offenders come here, some go to the sheriff's office. What we're going to make sure we do is, if anybody comes here, I'm going to refer them to the sheriff's office to do the face-to-face meeting, is what they call it. That's required of them, typically with those that are on active supervision. And then Captain Sanborn or whoever talks to them there will then get in touch with me and make sure we're aware of it. What we do after that, you know, depending on the legalities of it or what is, if we're going to go notify for every single offender that moves in. But like I said, especially in the cases of offenders that aren't on active supervision, it's likely going to be after the fact.
Right.
Along with that, what I found out yesterday in speaking with DOC, they started a website that I listed on here, www.widocoffenders.org. There's a new feature on it that allows anybody to sign up for email notifications. So, for example, what I've done since learning about it is I put my email in for the 54301 area code. Anytime that there's an offender that registers, whether it's terminated or on active supervision, I'll get an email about it. And you can click the link in the email, and it brings up their full information. So I definitely encourage anybody to get on that website. They also list question and answers, frequently asked questions. Basically, every question you can think of, all the stuff that was coming up at the meeting last time, the answers are there, explaining the process of notification that's in place right now. What I think it comes back down to, as far as if we want to do notifications on each offender that moves into the village, it's something that we probably want to, I guess, so to speak, check the legalities of and run by Dennis Duffy's office first. As far as numbers of the type of offenders that we have in the village, what I did is went through the spreadsheet that I get that I kind of talked about last time. So I got the information for every offender within Brown County. I divided those numbers up, took out the ones in Alloy, which we have 27. I was able to come up with 521 other listed offenders throughout Brown County. I wasn't able to break it down by municipality, just due to the way it was set up on the spreadsheet. But I was able to break it down by offense and how we number, you know, percentage-wise what we have under a certain offense compared to the rest of the county. If you look at the sheet that I provided, I'm sorry, I didn't get it to you earlier than today, but the percentages, I
thought they're happening.
I'm sorry?
Did
I have some extra copies. I don't know if I'm going to have enough for everybody.
Okay.
for if anybody is interested, the DOC did provide you information in the back. I have business cards that have that website on it, and also some different pamphlets of general information that they hand out to people. That was saying, as far as percentages go, when you're talking about what kind of offender we have living now, like compared to where are they throughout the rest of the county, given the total numbers, I think the percentages are fairly consistent throughout the county. So I wouldn't say that we're getting the worst offenders, so to speak. It's pretty much dispersed throughout the county, I would say, fairly evenly, just based on the numbers out there that come up. Explanation on, just to clarify on first-degree sexual assault compared to second degree, I did include in the handout I have the state statutes as they are on the DOJ website. Basically, the short version of it, without going through each individual one, example, sexual assault of a child, the first degree, those typically include some kind of force or causing bodily harm, something along those lines. When you get, if you look down a little further on the list to second degree, it's pretty simple. It says whoever has sexual contact or sexual intercourse with a person who has not yet attained the age of 16 years is guilty of a Class C felony. I think that's where you're going to find the so-called, you know, Romeo and Juliet cases, where it may have been consensual, but maybe it was an 18-year-old and a 15-year-old or something along those lines. I also did my best to look at the offenders that we do have registered in Alloway and try to find out where they came from. Erica, the Department of Corrections, was great and went through each name that I had individually and was able to pull up their prior addresses. And I think the big part of the question, and please correct me if I'm wrong, was did we get a rush of offenders from Green Bay when they enacted their ordinance? They put their ordinance into play in 2007, and I'm not going to go through each individual offender, but based on what I'm able to look at here, just on my own notes and from what she gave me, which was literally handwritten notes as well, there's nothing to indicate that in 2007 that all of a sudden a whole bunch of offenders got kicked out of Green Bay, were no longer allowed to stay where they are and came to Alloway. You know, there are plenty of them that did move from Green Bay, but it's all different times. I've, you know, I'm here from 2013, 11, 12, some came from Ashwaubenon. There's also many cases where they're either in jail or homeless in between for whatever reason, or they're coming straight out of an institution, and what they have to do at times is until they find a place, they register as homeless, which would be in Green Bay, so they use 54301 area code. So it was difficult to, I guess, track the reasoning behind it, and that's, you know, you got to kind of take it at face value, is because there may be a story behind it, but without opening each individual file and looking at it specifically, it's kind of hard to say if so-and-so moved to Alloway because the Green Bay ordinance didn't allow him to stay where he was. But overall, you know, there's a good mix of, you know, Denmark, Appleton, Pulaski, Ishpeming Maine was one of them, Howard, Texas, Oneida, Sturgeon Bay, Indiana, all different places where offenders that have ended up in Alloway for whatever the reason is came from there. So it's not necessarily we're getting them from Green Bay because their ordinance is too restrictive. So I hope I answered some questions.
One question that kind of relates to that last comment. I mean, in terms of people that have gone before the Green Bay Residency Board to try to stay in Green Bay and they got rejected, do we have any of those?
I didn't. I wasn't able to get those for this meeting.
Isn't Mr. Brandt one of those?
Yes.
What I found about his case is he was approved to live, or he was incarcerated. He went before the Green Bay Board, was approved to live with his parents in the Far East Side, or with his mother at least, and stepfather, I think it was. Neighbors found out about it, complained to the board, and the board reversed their decision.
So Green Bay gave him the authority to live with his parents, not the state. Correct. So it wasn't part of his DOC plan.
That's correct. Exit plan. The residence would have been checked by his probation officer, and like I said, there's criteria, you know, do they have a support plan, are they able to get to work, transportation, You know, it's with families, so I'm sure that's something they would look upon positively. And they would approve or deny, but they don't necessarily look at it, say, from the state end of things, of you're legal to live here or not. You know, obviously, on active supervision, I think that I would assume they consider that, you know, the local ordinances. But, you know, yeah, so he was approved by the city and the probation agent to live there. And complaints came up from neighbors at that time. The board of Green Bay reversed their decision on that.
Is he living with his mother now, or did she just purchase the house?
She purchased the house from Lanners.
And she's not living there.
But she's not living. He's either renting or just there.
Rick, are these the 27 total? Is that current?
Yes.
And a lady earlier tonight made a comment of 16 living in the Webster school area?
That I would have to look at the map.
Okay. It does seem like a lot.
Well, and we do have that ordinance in place that prohibits, you know, within a certain proximity of schools.
And right. The proximity rule is 50 feet. Mm-hmm. So unless you're literally next bordering next to a Parker school, chances are you're okay.
And there's also a density criteria there,
yes,
too. So 16
well,
that close
the,
together.
Well, the density include is for
household.
Single.
Yeah, household.
Yeah, the density refers to one roof. For example, if, like the issue that came up last year on Beaufort Street, if it's a duplex or an apartment complex, there one offender would be allowed to live in that building.
And I think it also depends on what kind of radius you're talking about when we look just at the safe routes to school. A 2 mile circle covers a larger portion of the village.
The thing that frustrates me the most is we have a data problem here, right? I mean, we don't, we're throwing all sexual offenders in one category, and then we're trying to ask you to parse all this stuff apart, and you're having to go through.
And
you put in a huge amount of work. I really appreciate what you've done.
That's why I tried to include the statutes, because, you know, like you're saying, under first degree sexual assault, well, there's A through E of different types of offenses that all could be without looking into each individual file. I can't tell you what it was, per se. Another thing I know I put in the memo is these are the offenses that the offenders were convicted of. You know, in their court process, and they may have started out as a first degree, and it may have been a plea agreement to second degree, something along those lines.
Right.
So, and that's one of those things, without looking individually at their files,
I know this has been a frustrating process. I've been asking Brett for more and more data, and it just doesn't exist in the form that makes it really usable.
Yeah.
And that's not our fault, but it's really something that I think we need to push with the DLC and with the Sheriff's Department, that these are the kind of data that we really need to make responsible decisions about our municipalities. I really appreciate your efforts on this. We just got this at the podium tonight when we showed up, so I haven't gone through it. Just from what I heard you reporting, if you had to summarize, we don't have a problem with regards to those things that we were afraid of when we enacted Green Bay enacted their ordinance and we implemented ours. Would that be
strictly on, you know, the numbers I saw, I don't think we're getting a, you know, unproportional amount of offenders in general, or, you know, specifically ones that are worse than other ones, so to speak.
Okay, so that speaks more to the ordinance issue, that the ordinance, if to summarize what you're saying, again, I haven't gone through all of this, the ordinance seems to be working just fine. It's not resulting in any sort of disproportionality.
No.
But then back to the process part of it. I'm not sure where we are there. We still have the option of, although the Department of Corrections, I think I said the DOT before, I meant the DOC, you don't get those mixed up, are not required to provide notification in some instances, that we might have the option, if we check with our village attorney, of the village taking on the responsibility of notifying. It's still probably going to be after the fact, because a person can move in before they actually go and register.
Right.
But it would at least be, what's the amount of time that they have to go and register?
They have 10 days to register.
10 days. Isn't so it would at least be within a couple of weeks, rather than, I think it was a month in this case, before anyone kind of discovered this. And then, so is that a fair...
Yeah, I think so.
Summary of what you said with regard to the process.
Yes. Basically, what I took away from the meetings is the DOC is working under a state statute and following their procedures. however they're written out for them. I think it would fall on the village if they want to enhance the notification like you're talking about, but I would obviously have to refer to the village attorney's office to check the legalities of it. It's kind of questions come up that I wonder about that I don't have the answers for. Are we setting a double standard? Or if by going above and beyond state law, are we violating someone's rights by doing notifications? The stuff like that, I think, needs to be considered, and those are questions for the village attorney.
Yeah, and one thing that occurred to me is, what if we miss one?
Yeah.
You know, then are we either legally liable or, you know, if we're going to do something, I'm going to want to make sure that we do it really well, and it's not sort of hit or miss as to whether people get notifications.
Yeah,
and then sort of the workload. I mean, I don't know how often you give us snapshots of how many we have, but I don't know how often people are in and out. And so this could be, a tenth of your time as our DEO is managing this notification process.
Yeah, and I think with the system, with the website, with the notifications, they literally started this last week.
Okay.
I signed up yesterday. I already had one notification in my email today. So I'm hoping that'll make things easier on my end. So when someone does register, it doesn't wait. Say if it's a terminated offender, which in many cases, unless I literally call the Department of Corrections or email them and request an updated list that I may not know about until that happens. And in the past, I've done that several times a year. But with this system, with the email, I'll be getting the notifications when the Department of Corrections is notified.
So is there a reason we can't put that link on our website right now and let people sign up for
that? Thank you for bringing that up. I didn't say it, but I think that would be a great idea.
We can't narrow it smaller than zip code at this point?
You can search by zip code. You can also put in an address and put in a mile radius.
You put in your own home or whatever?
Yeah, we can put in your own address. And there's, I think it's a drop-down box, half a mile, 1 mile, 2 miles, three, whatever it is, from radius from your residence. If you want to be notified. But there's, and you can also look up offenders by address, by name. There's all those options available. The mapping features are there. And like I said, the frequently asked questions are also there, which I started going through those. And like I said, it's just about every question that came up at our last meeting and the process of who gets notified, when, why they're living at a certain address, how they ended up there. It's an excellent website. I mean, it's a resource. I would encourage everybody to take a look at it.
And so, why don't we make that promise to one another to check out that website and to get those questions answered in our heads? I don't see any reason why we don't want to go forward to the village attorney just to see what the possibilities are, whether we change the process or not. I'd like to know at least what the parameters are, possibility.
Would that information be disseminated once and cashed out via email once they register in lieu of when they move in, right? It's when they register. That's when we get the payment from the email.
Right.
Okay.
So it's still, and this would not include people who are not on supervision or anyone who are registered?
Anybody on the registry you can get an email though, and
okay.
Be on the website.
But it would still be after the fact for
right.
10 days.
All of them are
after 10 days.
I think doing it beforehand is where it really becomes a problem. Again, it's one of those things I have to tell you we need to talk to the attorney's office more to check on the legalities of it.
Okay.
If that's an option we can do locally, and it may be, but we would need to get Department of Correction to, I guess, change their ways, so to speak. Are they going to be willing to do that specifically, for us?
Probably not.
Why not?
It's going to be
tough. Railway.
We're historically
progressive.
Yeah.
So, this has been an issue that surfaces periodically. I remember when Green Bay first passed their ordinance, I kind of was one of the ones that jumped on the bandwagon and said Alloway should adopt something very similar to Green Bay.
He's a hothead.
And now with hindsight, I'm glad we didn't, because all the law enforcement professionals that came and addressed the board at the time said that it's not a good idea because it drives people underground and they don't tell you where they are. And at that time, we had a very proactive program with our DEOs. I mean, they know where these people are and they go see them and they follow up and they're there. So in a way, I'm glad we didn't adopt that. I think that this website's outstanding. I think we should promote it on our website, and get the word out that it's there. And I I suspect if the village gets notification that people are popping up the pay after, granted after the fact, we can put that on our website too. But I don't see any legal problem, you know, from, you know, notifying our residents, for example, via email, or not email, but via the website, that someone has moved into the village, because you can get it at the DOC website anyway.
Right.
It's public information at that point. So we can develop a protocol where we get a ping here at the village and we can put it on our website. You know, somebody's moving into this address, and that's brilliant. And that's easy. I think, you know, we should probably take a look at
the... The problem with that, though, is that the same problem with the sidewalk issue. People aren't going to be checking our website every 2 days. So
to let me continue. I'm sorry. I know, and that's the problem. Where do you draw the line, and how many notices do you send them out, and to what offenses, and to what radius? It's something we can look at. I mean, clearly, none of these offenses are good offenses, but clearly some are much more significant than others. So I think the board could look at, for example, first degree sexual assault of a child, second degree sexual assault of a child. I mean, those are the two that are right at the top of the list. And you're not going to capture the Romeo and Juliet's in that group. I mean, that's first and second degree.
The second degree actually would capture a
lot of them. The second degree would?
Second degree. Yeah,
but that's something we can take a look at it by offense, but then we have to take a look at, you know, what's the appropriate radius. If we miss someone, I don't think we're not legally, I shouldn't give legal advice because I'm not the lawyer, but I don't think that we're responsible because we're doing this as a public service and we don't have any kind of, you know, ministerial obligation to do it to begin with. So I think we're clear of liability. And you're right, and it gets back to the whole thing with the sidewalk. People aren't going to go to the website, they're not going to go to this site, they're not going to that site, you've got to knock on the door and tell them. So I'd be willing to explore, you know, for certain offenses. I mean, I don't want to go through 25 or 30 different offenses of varying degrees. And then we'd have to figure out, you know, who do we notify? I mean, is it one block radius? So.
And I think if we go down this path, we could be really minimalist at first, because all you have to do is notify the neighbors on either side, and I think word's going to get out pretty quickly. But,
yeah.
Okay, is there any end of discussion? I think we're going to check with the village attorney. We don't have an administrator to do that. So can you do that? I think he knows about the
yeah,
issue. I mean,
yeah,
he was here last time.
He
knows about the issue.
What we're thinking about. So.
Okay.
if there are any more questions I can try to get, like I said, what I found the last few weeks is information is, it's easier said than found, I guess, so to speak. It's harder to get than I thought it was going to be. NDOC, any of the other communities I'm finding aren't exactly organized in their information. They don't make it easy to just look things up.
I know this doesn't help the situation at all, actually, because it's already happened, and we're talking about changing the process, and that's not going to help this because it already happened. But if I'm going to summarize our discussions, we're going to explore what our options are for adjusting the process to go above and beyond what's required of the Department of Corrections. Again, there's no evidence to me that the ordinance isn't working the way that we'd hoped that it worked. However, I haven't gone through all of this. Even if it is, there's nothing that says that a resident can't request that it be put on a village board agenda for us to review the ordinance. And if a village board member agrees that we should put it on an agenda, then we can get that on an agenda and address that issue.
Yes, I think, you know, it would be up to the community, up to the board. If you see a need for changes, that's...
I'm going to open it up in just a second.
Thank you.
Trustee Gens?
I think in terms of further discussion on this issue, I'd like to revisit the proximity ordinance again. I mean, if it's 50 feet, I mean, I think we should revisit, you know, the distances that, you know, people can reside from a school or from a park. I mean, I'd at least like to get it back into our focus again.
Okay.
And if we're interested, the village attorney, I think, you know, one other question I'd just, you know, be interested in knowing the answer to is, if somebody goes through the Green Bay process and is rejected by the Green Bay Board, could we adopt an ordinance that says anybody rejected by the Green Bay Board, you know, can't come to L.A.?
We talked about that last time.
I know. They're going to snow it in the middle of April. go figure. You know, but maybe that's something we can run past the attorney.
Yeah, okay. Unless there are objections, I'm going to open it up to our visitors. Again, we're going to try to take a measured approach and not spend too long on this. I know it's an important issue, but Yes, please, ma'am. Again, please state your name and address when you approach the podium.
So it should be 350 Taft Street. Just 3 points. The process, if it is on, all on the website already, I don't know what the legality you're worried about having us all notified. It's out there for public domain. So I don't think you have to worry. Just come up with an idea. So we, as neighbors, know, and I don't care if it's 10 days after, I'm fine with that. I want to know to protect my children and the children in the neighborhood, and we can all watch out. I'm a compassionate person, and I know somebody, as a human being, we have to be with one another, and if we don't, as a community, recognize that people who have made a mistake in their life have a chance again, where is their life? We have to give them a place to live, be compassionate, treat them as a human being, or we're in trouble. So I really feel that way. As far as the ordinance, I think you should look at the ordinance. Number one, I think what happens is we live in an affordable neighborhood, and you're going to see the pockets of where in LOA the sexual offenders are residing, where they can rent, where they can afford it. You're not going to find it in the ritzy areas of LOA much. It's going to be condensed, and you're talking about density in a household. You're going to have density on streets. You look at the older neighborhoods, McCormick, Garland, Cass Street, Coolidge, Webster. I can name the streets because that's where it's affordable. You're going to have density in LOA if you don't look at that kind of a density issue. And as far as the sexual offenders, if they are first degree child sexual offender, you need to look at which type are residing here. My husband had gone to the website and he told me there is a high density of number one sexual offenders to children here in LA. I was appalled. I didn't realize that. So look at that and see what type are coming here.
That's what I thought you did. Is that right?
You've got different statistics.
That's the number I came up with. We have 27 in the Village Valley. Six of those are first-degree sexual assault with child. So do the math. It comes up to about 22%.
And that's consistent with surrounding.
And if you look countywide, there's 97 out of 521. And that comes up, you know, That's what I was able to staring at a spreadsheet. That's what
you wanted.
I'm Mark Schutte. You know, I guess thank you for your service. I kind of do my work. I went out and looked at the website, and it's color coded. And it's, well, you're right. You can't get your arms around the data. It's all over the place. So I was looking at LA and looking at Green Bay and kind of in the, you know, adjacent areas to LA. And the offenders are color coordinated. So I drilled down and looking at the Green Bay. Offenders, and there's a whole array of offenders. There's women that are offenders. There are adult to adult offenders. There's really old men, I guess, you know, for lack of a word, you know, there's 70, 80 years old. And looked at Alloway and Green Bay, the offenders were about 45%-ish that were code red. Code red is child, adult to child, my biggest fear. In Alabama, it was close to 90%. I mean, it just did the math. It was 88%. With the website I looked at, that were adult to child. And that concerned me.
Okay.
I guess I'm not familiar with which website or the coding system that website was using, but I'm not sure which one you're at.
I can send it.
And that's not what I use. What I get is a spreadsheet that lists out by the statutory effects of what their conviction was. So it doesn't necessarily tell me adult to child, that type of stuff.
This one it had about four or five different color codes. And it's one, there's also notification. I saw that too, like you said. And actually, that's been out there for 3 years.
Was it a neighborhood watchdog site?
There's a site
Could you give that information to DEO lot now?
Sure.
So we can reconcile these numbers?
Sure.
I know thank you for that information. It's really frustrating when you just don't have the data that you need.
Like I said, what I'm going off of is the Excel spreadsheet that I get for the area code of 54301, and then I'm literally by hand going through that and trying to.
And one of the problems is 54301 spans Alloway and Green Bay.
Right. So So like I said earlier in the past meeting, when I get the one per the 54301 area code, you know, I have 60, 70 names on there. I go through by hand and try to pick out the alley ones and get rid of the other ones so I can go from there.
Once you get that reconciled, you could email that to all of us and let them look at those data as well in conjunction with what you've given us.
Sure.
Yes, ma'am.
Just a proposition that I'd like to bring up, being a director at the Astor East Neighborhood Association. What we do is obviously not put it on our website because we don't want to drive people underground and we don't want to disclude people, but we do have a lot of meetings in our neighborhood, that and also Astor Park. I'm Grand U, so I'm one street away from Alloway. But just talking about it and inviting a lot of people to the meetings, the word gets out there. It does. Just from, you said it best, communication is key. And as long as everybody's aware, I think neighbors look out for one another, and word does travel fast. And then you get the CSI out patrolling the area if there's any assertion. So if you have neighborhood associations, that's a really wonderful instrument to try to get people together.
Ma'am, can you give your name?
Oh, okay, yeah. Tiffany Hoffman, address 1333 Grignion.
DEO Lautner, how active are our sort of ebbs and flows with regard to neighborhood watch and neighborhood associations? How active are we right now?
Since I've been here, I hear a lot about neighborhood watches that have existed. I try to encourage people to contact me about them. I've never really heard from any of them. I know in the past when Deal Flannery was here, had a very strong program that he was in touch with everybody. I guess it changed since then. What I found when I tried to organize and, I guess, you know, solicit watch captains and block captains is everybody wants neighborhood watch, but nobody wants to lead the neighborhood watch. That's been my experience thus far. So I know they're out there. I've had a difficult time getting in touch with them.
It's wonderful because they've been very instrumental in wanting to come in and speak regularly at our meetings, and we get a really good turnout when we know that they're there because we simply know what's going on, drug busts that are being worked on, you know, and obviously everybody's really discreet, but we've gotten some really good information. And that empowers us as a neighborhood to tell our kids, you know, to go out in groups, to watch where you go. It's worked great for Astor East Urban Neighborhood Association.
Yeah. And I, you know, still encourage anybody that knows of a block captain that still has an email list or, you know, a network with their neighbors, call me, we'll set up a meeting.
Can you provide some recommendations to the board for next time of ways that we can sort of reinvigorate that program? I know that the lists were, we had a really extensive list, and there were some issues about where that is right now from my recollection. So can you just sort of think about it and see if there are things that the board can do or we can do as a village to try to reinvigorate that program? Because to ask you to do it from the ground up is going to be...
And that's kind of what I was looking from when I first took the position is, you know, I was trying to get the newsletter requesting anybody willing to get going or if anybody's aware of them, and I never got much response. So
thank you.
I will try to think of some ideas and get in touch.
Thanks for having me.
Anybody else would like to speak? Ma'am, I think you had your hand up. I'm sorry.
I'm Katie Heck, 324 Floral Drive. I would like to request that the web link does get posted on the village's website. I think that would be very useful information to the residents. And I also hope that this would just be the stepping stone to creating better forms of educating us on what offenders do come into the area. If it is something that's very difficult for us to track right now, then our next step is to go higher than who we are. What's the next step? You go to the DOC and ask them to upgrade their forms, to create better access systems so that the information is documented properly and easier to track so that it can trickle down to the rest of the systems. What is that process? And either you get a task force to work on that or we figure out how that gets done, because if it's a problem for us, it's probably a problem for other villages as well. So if we take the lead on that, I think that would look wonderful for our village and be great for residents.
Thank you.
You know, one of the things that we might consider is that when we deal with age and we do that specific website location, is to put on our home page electronically to say, Neighborhood Watch, and to have that website included under that tab on the website as Neighborhood Watch, and then people can sign up under that as well, because people are going to be more trending toward electronics rather than face-to-face or going out and patrolling neighborhoods or whatever. But I think that making public awareness available easily is one of the keys behind getting people to participate. If that's doable, to just have it noted as a Neighborhood Watch page or whatever, and have it put in there as well.
Is there anyone else who's visiting who'd like to speak this evening? Okay, we're going to take up the rules. Any further discussion amongst the board? Thank you, Rick. Really appreciate your
thanks,
comments.
Rick.
Thank you.
I think I heard Trustee Gast make a request to have this put on the next agenda for review of the current ordinance to see if. All right. Please come back in a few weeks, a couple of weeks, and be engaged in that conversation.
Thank you for your time, everybody.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, item number 6, action regarding the request from Titletown Tobacco LLC for alcohol beverage retail license. I'll make a motion to deny because the request has actually been rescinded. What about if we just have no motion with regard to the item and it dies for lack of a motion? But they did rescind the application because there are extra issues with them having a retail alcohol. Mm-hmm. Is there a motion with regard to this item? The item dies for a lack of a motion. Item 7, action regarding Ordinance 2014-09, amending Section 340-0011, no parking zones of Chapters 340 to 348, traffic regulations. Is there a motion with regard to this item? I want to hear from Mr. Roberts first.
I would move to accept the... To adopt the ordinance.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Gannard seconds. Discussion? Mr. Roberts? Anything you think we need to know about? Pretty self-explanatory. Any questions for Mr. Roberts?
Just kind of a clarification of what we talked about last time. So we're good?
Well, the topic of parking or standard. Well, parking basically on the roundabout. And it hasn't started a problem here. We had it in Ledshew. That's why I brought it up here, because we are getting another roundabout. We get the second roundabout coming up here. We just have it in place in case it does happen. I mean, like I said, we had problems in Ledshew, so it's over here. Mm-hmm.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item 8, action regarding Ordinance 2014-10, amending Section 3.20, Snow on Streets, Chapter 3, Streets and Sidewalks. I would make a motion to adopt the Ordinance 2014-10. Is there a second? Trustee Gass seconds. Discussion? People can no longer push their snow across the cul-de-sac in the middle, right?
That's it.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
I mean, I gotta stop doing that.
Motion carries. You do. Item 9, action regarding Ordinance 2014-11, amending Section 6.06, Dogs and Cats in Parks or Premises other than that of the owner of Chapter 3, Animals. Is there a motion with regard to this item?
I move we adopt the ordinance.
Trustee Harris moves. Is there a second? Trustee Dart seconds. Discussion? We someone who's holding out on us. Unless there are objections, I'll open it up to public comment. Okay. Yes, sir.
Christopher Lauder, 325 Brookridge Street. I would just like to say that I am in support of this ordinance because people are already doing it and I don't really see a problem. In addition to that, I would also recommend we change our current leash law to that currently all residents have to have their animals on a leash of 6 feet or less and go to something similar as to what De Pere has done, as where the ordinance simply reads they have to keep their animal under control, which could include using an e-collar and keeping them in the heel position for people who have well-trained dogs, and just put the responsibility on the owners. That's all.
Can we get that put on the agenda for next time? Do you have an opinion on that off the top of your head?
I'd have to look at it. I know we have dogs have to be on leashes. I know that there's no running of animals, and animals can't be running around without being on a leash. I don't know what the length is on a leash.
Pier has an ordinance where owners are simply responsible to keep their animals under control or under an electronic control device.
I can research that.
It's not under 6.06, though, so there's no reason for us to postpone the decision on this. It's a separate section. Okay. All right. Thank you. Any other comments with regard to this item? Okay, we will take up the rules. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 12. Action regarding the approval of the new CSM process. Is there a motion with regard to this item, or do you want to hear from Trevor, who's no longer an intern?
Let's hear from Trevor.
Okay, we'll suspend the rules. Trevor.
All right, well, this information...
I'm sorry, Mr. Fuller.
No longer an intern.
Do you want him to explain why I love you first?
This information was gathered.
All right, it is related. Gabby just made the comment, and I agree. Could you explain why 11 was removed? Because I think these.
Okay. 11 was removed pretty much because the Planning Commission approved it or recommended it on approval of getting their plans approved by ATC, the power company. So we heard back from ATC. Basically, their ruling is with the height of the power lines, nothing can go underneath the power lines.
Okay. Thank you.
I talked to Dan. He's the guy in charge from Hillcrest today, and they're in works of getting the plans reworked so it can be back for the May 20th meeting.
Okay.
All right, so the CSM, the other former intern, Alex, looked up all this information. Basically, all the surrounding communities have a fee they charge when going through the CSM process. We presented it to the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission looked it over. And they kind of had the same opinions we had. It's something everyone else assesses. It wouldn't really affect development at all if we charge it because it's something that developers come to expect. So the Planning Commission recommended a $200 fee.
Right in the middle.
Right.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Fuller? Trustee Harris.
Do we have an idea of how many times it would have been used within the last year if it already had been implemented?
From what I understand, one or two times a year.
Question?
No, I don't. I think the fee is prudent. I mean, you know, anytime anybody files a CSM, I mean, that requires internal staff and, you know, review time, and there has to be, you know, some compensation for that. Otherwise, it's at the expense of the taxpayer because it detracts people from their other duties. You know, so it's fairly consistent with industry practice and other municipalities. So it seems to make sense.
I know you don't know the specifics about our HR system and compensation, but does $200 cover the cost of the village engaging in this, or is it just sort of relative to other communities? This is,
I think it was more relative to other communities. Planning Commission had, I believe, started out with maybe 150, but then kind of realized that 10 to 15 hours of staff time, you know, really wouldn't be covered with the $150 fee. So they moved it up more of a guess.
I can say that's true. As part of the Planning Commission, it was sort of a guess.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions for Mr. Fuller? I'll entertain a motion then with regard to this item. I will make a motion that we institute a fee of $250 for the CSM. Trustee Dart?
I'll second that.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 13, action regarding the park record forestry minutes from April 22nd, 2014. Recommendation for the village board to move forward with the Rush Family East River Trail Project. Proposed timeline, advertised for bids on the 9th and 16th with bid opening on May 30th. And possible awarding of the bids on June 3rd, at the June 3rd board meeting. I will make a motion. I'll entertain a motion with regard to this item. Trustee Gingrich?
So move.
And is there a second? Trustee Gass, seconds. Discussion? Again, as I'm sure you have a million times, send along our thank you to the to Dick Rush and the Rush family for their contributions. I had someone ask me, I work out at the university, just yesterday, I think it was, when are they going to start on that trail? And I said, well, we've had a little bit of a rough spring. Brad sent pictures around of that entire East River area pretty much flooded. And so I know that residents are anxious for that to be done, for it to be fully utilized. Brad, this person had some questions about, they seem to be doing some cutting in the area that's 20 feet away from the trail. Is the trail going to move in some areas, or is that for a walking
Probably part of the removal that they saw was part of the disc golf course.
Oh, okay.
And those were basically either hot shoulder or buckhorn.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Action regarding item 14, action regarding the Sunset Trail bid award. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Gass.
I'll move to award the Sunset Trail bid to the Ted Gersick Incorporated as the low bidder.
I'll second. Discussion? Brad, can you remind me of the timeline for this project?
What will happen now is by the time the contracts get signed, we'll be looking at probably a 30-day window with construction probably taking place more in the early to latter part of June.
Okay.
Actually,
and how long will it take to construct?
They're anticipating less than a month.
Okay. Trustee Gass?
Actually, I'll withdraw my motion. Ed Gersick Incorporated was a client of mine several years ago. I haven't done anything recently, but I'll withdraw my making of the motion, and I'll abstain.
You're going to be abstaining. Okay, I will make a motion to award to Ed Gersick. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Trustee Dart seconds. Okay. Discussion?
Some of the comments that I received from the residents in that area, they were concerned about an increased traffic pattern in their quiet neighborhood and worried about people parking along that street. So I would ask that we consider maybe putting no parking signs, or at least watching that, And if that does become a problem, to put no parking signs, I don't think that's the design for this, but it's supposed to be a walking trail. But if that does become a problem, I think we should look out for our residents.
Thank you. We'll keep our eyes on it, right? Okay, good. Anything further? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions?
One.
Thank you. Item 15, approval of a vendor and noise permit for the Optimus Club on June 8th. Is there a motion with regard to this item?
I have a question.
Yes.
For the motion. Isn't this just the regular thing they always do? I mean, do we need to approve this?
Because of the noise ordinance, they need to.
Oh. So we do it every year?
Yeah, when they add, if it's the same thing as the year before, Brad has to go ahead and just renew it.
And but
if
they change anything?
But being this is an ordinance, and it needs the ability for approval.
They're asking for a variance on the noise ordinance.
Got it. Thanks, Brad.
And that wasn't the case in past years?
It's been, the noise ordinance has changed over the years, and they didn't used to have this, but in recent years it's been to the board for approval.
Thank you.
Brad, they're also going to, I think they're trying to do a movie and something on Saturday night the 7th. Would that be affected, or would this be covered?
That'll be a little bit different, Jim.
Okay. So we don't need that.
It's not the Optimus. It's a little bit of the Alway Business Association, the Parks Department. Whether or not a noise ordinance, it's a lot different because it's not the speakers all over the park. It's confined to an area. So I'll need to look into that a little bit more, and if we have to bring it back in May.
Anything further? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Did we have a
question?
Oh, we didn't.
We have
currently it's consent, by consent.
Yeah. I'll make the motion to approve.
I'll second.
Thank you.
Why don't you guys just go ahead and run the house? I'll leave for now. Good. Thank you. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Debbie. Item 16, action regarding the request to allow parking on the grass during the 2014 softball tournaments at Riverview Park. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Dart.
I'll move to approve it.
Seconded by Trustee Gass. Yes. Trustee Dart, you have a comment?
I think it's been done in the past and it hasn't been a problem, so.
Further Trustee Harris?
What number of cars are we talking about, and what is the backup plan if it is raining and we're going to prevent them from parking on the grass if there's rain? Or the games don't happen if there's enough rain and we don't have to worry about it.
I've got a pretty good working relationship with those that run the tournament, and what we end up doing, or they do, is they'll rope off the area and not allow cars to go out into the two parks. So they're very, very conscious about any moisture of just shutting it right down because they don't want to lose the opportunity to use the facility.
Okay, thank you.
And folks who use that facility have contributed a lot to that park, and so I think they feel some ownership over it as well. So I think we've done things right in the past, and people are treating the property with respect. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 17, action regarding the request from St. Matthew Parish for a temporary Class B retailer license to sell fermented malt beverages and wine at Cornhole Toss on May 31st, 2014, 130 St. Matthew Street. Is there a motion with regard to this item? I won't look to Trustee Dorn. Trustee Gass.
I will move to approve the request.
I'll second. Is there a discussion?
I have a question.
Yes.
What is a cornhole toss, and should people be drinking when they're close to one?
Beanbags.
Do I need to get on the other side to answer that question?
Beanbags.
Beanbags.
Oh, you didn't know?
No, I didn't.
Beanbag costume. We did have one request for a fence, though, somewhere where they were going to have this beanbag costume. It was right next to Riverside Drive, and we were worried about things spilling out. So this issue of the corn toss has come up before. Now you know. Your orientation is
complete.
Now I know.
Is that
the professional corn toss?
It is.
Concerned about business?
Okay. Here we go. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Aye.
Trustee Jarvis names. Item 18, request from St. Matthew Parish for a noise ordinance to allow amplifiers at their cornhole toss on May 31st, 2014. Trustee Bradford, what is a cornhole toss?
It's a beanbag.
All right. Would you like to make a motion with regard to this item?
Sure. I'll move to approve.
Is there a second? Trustee Harris seconds. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions?
One.
The motion carries. Item 19, action regarding ordinance 2014-12, eliminating the traffic and safety committee. The idea here is that would basically be incorporated into public works. Is that correct, Mr. Burns? Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Gass?
I'll move to adopt ordinance 2014-13.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Trustee Gendrich seconds it.
What happened to
it
number?
It should be 12.
12.
What is it? 13.
2014-12.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm
12.
50 again? Okay. Does that mean there's not enough work in public works right now that you want to take on some more?
Well, considering the number of times the traffic and safety's met over the years, we can handle it.
Yeah, you just played.
Safety.
Discussion? As Trustee Guest alluded to, there just hasn't been a lot of activity for the Traffic and Safety Committee, and so it could probably be better taken care of in public works, and the people's time in that committee be better utilized.
So. Oh, and there was a few times Traffic and Safety got involved with something that we were with. Then there was this cross-pollination. We'd send it to them, they'd send it back to us,
right.
We'd send it back to them. Board sent it to both of us. I mean, it was a lot.
That was on the Green Avenue striping and stop sign, was that it? Anyway, yeah. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Action regarding the ordinance 2014-13, changing the makeup of the Public Works Committee. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Gass?
I will move to adopt 2014-13.
I'll second. Is there a discussion?
Just a, from sitting on Public Works for quite a few years, and I like the idea of having some citizen members, and that hasn't really been prevalent in the past, and this is, I guess, part of our budget. And two, I do like the concept, and I think that the village administrator, or at least Tracy, did, and I'm sure the new one will, and Craig, to be more of a liaison to that committee than kind of a voting member,
yes.
You know, since it is Craig's department, and the village administrator oversees the village. So I think it's a nice mix of people.
Do we have an idea of people who would fit the bill?
I do. I haven't been able to finalize those contacts, but I'm going to be working with Trustee Gass, who's the only remaining member until tonight, to make and Mr. Byrne to make sure that they're comfortable with those recommendations.
Okay.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Item 21, action regarding the appointment to Park Committee. I'm not going to recommend that Mr. Selleson or Disher be appointed to the Park Committee. I'm going to make a motion not to appoint him, and I'll wait for a second to see if you want to discuss this. Trustee Dart.
I'll second.
Has nothing to do with Dave. He's a wonderful, very dedicated employee, and Mr. Lang can attest to this, but for the rationale that Trustee Gass just gave as to why we're reconstructing the Public Works Committee, it represents a bit of a conflict, and since it's his department, although he's not the department head, for him to be sitting on this committee. So I'm going to recommend that we not appoint him to the committee. Any further discussion? Yes?
Is it true that for all of the other committees that there aren't village employees on the committees?
Not as voting members of the committee, as far as I can tell. Debbie, did you know that off the top of your head?
I don't vote at Board of Appeals. Brad doesn't vote at Park.
Yeah, I think it's prudent to have...
Traffic and safety, you don't...
Excuse me, I vote at Economic Development. That's different. That's okay.
Yeah. Traffic and safety, we're talking staff in their department. So traffic and safety doesn't exist anymore, so we don't have to worry about that. So I think the answer is no to that, Trustee Ralph. And I think it sort of probably happened organically that at one time the Public Works Director probably wasn't voting on it, and then just as time passes and he knows all the inside information about the issues, it's just, I think, probably got to the point where he was included in as a voting member. So
you are a voting member? No. Okay. Yeah, I would also agree with you, Steve, that I'd like to thank Dave for offering.
Yes.
He works at that job many hours a day, and the offering to serve the community even longer. And I think that was a very nice move on his part.
Yeah, and I hope that's communicated to him. It has nothing to do with his work and his dedication to the village.
And I'd just like to add the comment that if we check with our lawyer and our lawyer suggests not, I guess I would say we need the lawyer to help us with that decision, then that's why I would suggest we don't do it. Also.
So what you're saying is lawyers are really smart people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's
with logic like that, huh?
That would be leading the witness.
Okay. Further discussion. The motion is to not appoint him to the committee. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 22 asks regarding the appointment of board members to the committees where we have vacancies. I meant to check with a couple of the board members before we got this far, and we had this meeting beforehand, and I didn't get to work it out, but most of you told me to put you where we needed you, and I think Trustee Rafter had a couple of conflicts and couldn't sit on a couple of the committees. So this is what I'm going to propose, that Trustees Rafter and Genrich join Trustee Gast on Public Works, that Trustee Dennis be the liaison to the Water Authority, that Trustee Harris serve on the Room Tax Commission, and that Trustee Vandenhoven continue on the County Planning Commission, and also serve on the Fire Commission for Green Bay until we get a new administrator, and the Municipal Issues Group, although those aren't formal committees. So the ones I really want to ask about are the Room Tax and the Water Commission. I don't think there's any reason why those two could be flip-flopped, and I wanted to talk to you two about that beforehand. But I will entertain a second before we discuss.
Are we leaving Penny on?
Is Penny
on? Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. Yeah, everything else is the same.
Okay.
I'll second it for discussion.
Okay. So the two sticking points, I've left Penny where she is, the committees that she sits on, Economic Development, the Planning Commission, and was there a third?
No.
They fit really well together, and I think that's a good place for you to be. And then with regard to the other things, I think that both gyms would be good, although it's going to cause confusion, would be good on Public Works. And with the scheduling, I think that, that might work out. With regard to the Water Authority and the Room Tax Commission, there was no reason why I chose one over the other. I didn't really even check it with Mr. Byrne. as to whether he had a preference as to who served on the Water Commission.
I'm in favor of water.
You like water. Okay. Trustee Harris, are you?
I'm in water. Water room tax. Okay.
These are renewed every year. So, and even if they're not, I think we could probably midstream, if things aren't working out, we could make some adjustments.
Midstream would be water.
Nice. Very good. Midstream, yeah.
Nice. Do we need historic preservation?
Pardon?
Is the Historic Preservation Committee need a member?
I don't think it does.
Point one to that.
I read through the, and I think this is why Mr. O'Rourke has his hand raised. When I read the membership, it talked about residents quite a bit, and it talked about the residents should have a documentable or convincing, or I can't remember, interest in historic preservation. And I don't know anyone on the board who does, and we haven't had a person on that committee ever from the board. I think it was Mr. O'Rourke's recommendation that someone, maybe the village president, would sit on the board. I'm not even sure if I can, the way that it's written. So my plan is to look into that, and if I can, or it's encouraged, then I will consider either sitting on it myself or having one of you who have a background in historic preservation. One of the problems is I'm not sure of all your background in regard to that, and we lost Trustees Green and Kovish, who both had interest and experience in that area. Unless there are objections, I think Mr. O'Rourke would like to weigh in on this. Okay, we'll suspend the rules.
Thank you, Jim O'Rourke, 2239 Mobley Avenue. Thanks for opening it up. I think that it's very, very important that an elected member from the village be on that board, especially with the recent events that have happened since the intensive survey was commenced. The current committee didn't properly supervise the state when they came through and selected the historic districts, and there really needs to be an elected official on that board. And then specifically, I've been speaking with Steve at length about it, and it's very complicated, but when you start talking about taking away people's property rights without any accountability by an elected official, there's a real problem there. And the people are scared of the state, and they don't know how to stand up to bureaucrats from Madison. Thank you.
So I will check. Anyone else who'd like to speak with regard to this issue? Mr. Brent?
Just said no.
I'm sorry. Anyone from the public would like to speak with regard to this issue? Okay, we'll take up the rules. Mr. Brent, please.
Just a note about the Water Authority. The meeting is the fourth Wednesday every month at 3 o'clock at the pier. So that is kind of late in the workday, but it is a workday. And when you make that nomination, we make that request to the Water Authority. It's subject to Water Authority approval. So we place them in nomination. They have to act on it.
I would assume there's not going to be a...
I wouldn't think so.
Unless he has some illegal history with water.
It's all under the dam.
All right. Gavel time.
Actually, it has come up in the past where they've questioned a nomination from other communities. And the communities had to come back and send their village president to explain the reason that they nominated the person they did. So that has happened in the past. It won't happen here, but it did happen before.
Okay, I've got good rationale. One of the pieces of rationale is when they meet. I mean, it's really hard for people with full-time jobs to meet. So I was happy to hear when we had at least a couple of people who said they could make it. So I will explore the historic preservation, whether I can serve on the committee, and whether it merits one of us sitting on the committee. And even if one of us can't be an official member, there may be some logic in having at least one of us attend those meetings on a more regular basis to see what's going on. Okay. We have a motion and a second for the discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Get everything. Item 23. We will take items 23A through D, as opposed to B, unless there are, unless you'd like to separate any out. Trustee Gass?
I will, as part of the consent agenda, I'll move for approval of 12A through D.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Discussion?
Well, do we, anything with the April 14th?
That's why we're discussing.
Oh,
there's
okay.
A motion and a second on the floor, and then we discuss. Trustee Gass?
Well, I think it goes back to the stance of the board that we don't approve anybody else's minutes. Whatever they send, we accept them, and we just put them on file. You know, because maybe whoever wants to see them, they're on file here at the village, and I don't even know if we have to do that, but you know, but they're their minutes, so we just accept them and put them on the record.
So if they meet to approve the 414 minutes and they decide that they have to be revised, then we would just get the revised copy to accept it. We are not approving. I think we changed that verbiage a little bit some time ago from accept to, or to,
from
approve to accept and place on file.
Right. Thank you.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Trustee Rafter, we have a discussion item number 25, for a report on short and long-term options for better communication with the public. Very timely issue.
Yes, it is. Well, as we talked about at the last meeting, we have a need, and the village staff is bogged down with lots of other things going on right now, trying to find an administrator and keeping things going. So in the last time I had recommended, well, maybe we take a look at bringing together a board of community members. And after thinking about that, that's putting a very complex solution to a pretty simple problem. We don't have to change the world. We just have to start doing a better job at what we do and doing it incrementally. The first thing that I recommend we do, and I've talked to some of the members in the community, is to create a more substantial email list. If all of us took our email contact lists in this room of people who live in Alloway, we'd have a heck of a list to start sending out. We have the registration back on the website, and we should encourage our residents in every contact with them to register, so that we can communicate more effectively with them. At the front desk, every time someone comes in, we should ask them if they'd like to be on the email list so we can keep them updated on what's going on. Right now, I've got an email list, or collectively, maybe with Debbie's and then a couple of others, of several hundred already. So if we can get those people to register on the village website and on our email distribution list, I think that'll be a great start. As part of the Safe Paths to School program and discussion tonight, I've been communicating with some of the parents over Facebook. I have a Facebook page left over from the campaign, and I'm just going to continue having that, and I put updates on it. So until we have someone at the village who's able to do that communication, I'm just offering, send me a note and I'll put it out. Young parents love that stuff. They stay in touch that way. And it just, what we're going to ultimately have to do to really do a good job of communicating with our residents is find out how they communicate. Mm-hmm. Like someone said earlier tonight, we can put it out on the website, and if they don't go to the website, they don't see it. It's too cost inefficient today to do mailers all the time. So we just have to find out what is the best way to communicate with our residents. And I think if we can start to really collect a great email list and get the word out, I think that'll be a good start.
I agree, and I really applaud your efforts in this area, Trustee Rafter. But we also have a very heterogeneous population in the village, mm-hmm. and there is no one best way that our residents like to be communicated with. And the sidewalk issue is a perfect example where one woman said the average age was, you know, that people were getting up there in years and were going to need help with their sidewalks.
Right.
And so I'm thinking of obviously a multi-pronged approach in that I think we could probably pull this off with mailers or some direct contact, but not do it in a five-block radius of something that's going on. It only takes a few houses in that area, and then the residents themselves will do the rest. And I think I mentioned earlier tonight, our first conversation about the sidewalk, the Safe Routes to School issue, someone stood up and said, you know, we need to do a better job of residents, that if we hear about something, of making sure that our neighbors know about it. And I see that kind of avenue working well as well, and maybe better than some of the methods that would exclude folks who just don't use the technology as much. Trustee Gaines.
Well, I know, you know, and maybe Craig can be part of this dialogue, you know, going forward, because I know I'm working on public works, and I suspect other departments too, but when we have some of these, you know, major construction projects, I mean, public works has been doing a pretty good job of getting a hold of people. You know, oftentimes it's, you know, a mailed letter, and oftentimes it's something to hang on the door. I mean, they've gone to that extreme, you know, well, because you're going to tear up somebody's street, and they're going to be or inconvenience for an extended period of time, so... You know, but I think we can maybe broaden some of those concepts, I mean, into maybe like the sidewalk area.
Right.
I mean, we knew some of those streets, and they could have been either an individualized letter or some kind of a, you know, something to hang on the door, you know, that we could have put out there. I mean, clearly it has to be done within reason, because we can't have staff running out there 5 days passing on notices to two-thirds of the village. But, you know, there's certain discrete issues that, you know, could we can go a little bit above and beyond the call of duty. And we have in certain circumstances, but... Clearly not all of them.
Right. And I think we need to do it a little earlier in the process. And you pay for that, right? And if you get people sort of concerned about something that may or may not be an issue, you don't want to do it too soon, because then people get really uptight about something that might not ever come to fruition. But to use my example of the Safe Routes to Schools, I have no doubt when we put the sidewalks in that Public Works is going to be notifying people there's going to be a disruption in your driveway on this date, or we're going to be digging up your front yard on this date. But what I want is for them to get the notification earlier on when we're having the discussions about whether or not we're even going to put the sidewalk in. And again, I think there are methods that we can use that aren't terribly time intensive and let mm-hmm. people in those neighborhoods do the communicating with one another.
You know,
we didn't need everyone from Brookridge to be here tonight, right? But if we had 80% of the people on Brookridge, that would have been just fine. And so if not everyone in that area gets notified, enough of a critical mass will be generated for me to be comfortable that the public's been involved and informed and engaged. Trustee Dennis.
The multi-pronged approach that you mentioned is a good idea. The electronic part, like having a Facebook tab on our website saying, you know, like us on Facebook, stay in touch. But the other thing, and the other part is old school, that is that if each of us had... one person from each neighborhood that was our touch person, and we just said, okay, I'm telling you that we're going to be doing sidewalks, we're going to be doing sewer, we're going to be doing flushing hydrants, and you know, it's like going to the old ward humor philosophy of how things were done, you know, 100 years ago. But at the same time, it's an effective means, because as soon as somebody finds something out, they're all talking to each other.
Right.
In my neighborhood, one person finds something out, and boy, it's going down the street in a hurry. And telephone, telegraph, tell your neighbor.
Right.
And so I think that a combination of those two might be a way to be able to approach this, where we actually have somebody in a neighborhood.
Why that conversation with DEO Latna was important. You know, at one time we had a very active neighborhood watch and just neighborhood associations. And that was an easy way. I mean, oftentimes a newsletter would go out to everyone in the association, but there was a captain, I think they called him. And that's a great vehicle for getting the news out about things. I think a young woman also mentioned that tonight.
Astor Park,
they have.
Yeah. Good idea.
Is there any way we can... It goes back to just the email approach, but is there any way we can tie in with, starting with the elementary schools, whether it's the Webster, when they go back to school, the kids always get a packet of information. And one of the items in that packet is information about the village and signing up for the website. Just again, it's just one side of it, but it may be something where even we do something with whether it's St. Matthew's, whether it's Resurrection, part of their church bulletin. Just a little bit of information about the village. I don't know if that would work. If we tie it in with, probably way over bounds, but tie it in with a liquor license. That the business has to do some sort of, you know, not necessarily advertisement, but communication.
Well, and there's we could put the water bills at one time.
Well, correct.
We could use the water bills to tell people to go sign up for the website for notifications or that it's available. I think a lot of people don't even know that.
They don't get past the big number at the bottom, so they're going to read that part.
Trustee Dennis, please.
We could do a scratch
back also to, and I know this sounds silly, but that Facebook thing where you can restrict the comments that are put on there, but you have it put on the page for people to just see and to throw a line in there about, you know, again, about sewers or whatever people are talking about, because that hits their page right away, and you get a notification at the top of your Facebook page saying that you have a comment or you have a notice of some kind, and you hit that, and it says Village of Alloy, board meeting, sidewalks. And, I mean, that hits really quick. When this sounds sort of self-serving, and I don't mean to be that way. When I ran for office just now, I didn't spend any money on anything. I did everything through social media and knocking on doors. I didn't spend a dime, as opposed to some people. That's a joke. And it was very effective. And the people that were here tonight that had contacted me, you know, they immediately went, boom, they hit me right back and said, you know, okay, I voted for you, now I want you to listen to me. Okay, I'm good with that.
Yeah. Trustee Rector, I'd like you to take the lead on this. Continue to take the lead on this and continue to think about methods that we can use that, and I know you're sensitive to this, your initial comments where you don't want to overburden the staff, especially at this time when we're in transition. But if you could sort of, I'd like you to come back to the board with some rank order suggestions you have for improving, and then we'll try to just tick them off as we get wrap our minds around this. Is that
happy
fair?
To do that?
Okay, thank you so much for your work, Trustee Dart.
Just one comment. Mike Novak has a really nice sign.
Yeah, the only one.
Perhaps he could put something on there for us to sign up.
Webster Market.
With the email for the website.
That was actually part of the original discussion as to whether to grant him this sort of this experimental animated sign. Is that one, it could be used for Amber Alerts or for any sort of public notice, and I think this would be a good use of that. Great idea.
I suggest that Mike Jr. is the one that you, young Mike. Big Mike owns and runs everything, but young Mike keeps the technology going.
Okay.
Great.
Jim, do you know Mike Jr.?
I don't.
Okay.
Heard great things about him.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
And his business might be winning.
Or even those posters that you oftentimes see, at a place like Lock, Stock, and Bagel, and just to sign up for the village, and maybe even a little tear off. Just something like that wouldn't be a bad. I mean, that'd be pretty cheap. To
Jim, you're keeping tabs of this.
I got
to come back to us with a list, and we'll.
Yes, sir.
That'd be great. I appreciate your sensitivity that people are working.
I think
overtime here. That.
The village president can stand at the old village hall side.
The sandwich
board. Scary.
Draft costume.
Or Liberty tax. Right. Just to let the public know, we might be getting together at the Laura Library. We planned to do this last time to welcome our new trustees and to appreciate our outgoing trustees and the village administrator. And so we're going to try to do that tonight. That was noticed on the agenda as well. Is there a motion to adjourn, Trustee Rafter? Second, Trustee Dart. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.